The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who are supposed to be preaching are no
world.
So
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
This is for them rough days, when you feel like giving up dates. That's right. Here's a little something, put a smile on your face.
Reminisce on all the things you do.
Come on.
I can't imagine my life without you. It's like paradise now. I know that it's real. No mystery. But don't you get that I'm just for me. What you did don't count for me. Makes me wanna love you more than I do. I could be so happy.
That's right.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 17th of April, 2014. In studio with me, I have the illustrious new mayor of Youngstown, and he's been in office like 4 months and a couple days now. And
yeah, everything's, well, first, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Mark, good to be here.
Good to have you.
And as I just mentioned to you both, and you guys haven't said much since I said it, so you must be stunned. But, you know, my first 3.5 months in office has been the most fun that I've had, I would say, in my 18 years as a professional-type person. I'm having a blast.
Now, let me give you a little background. Mayor McNally, I've got Mark Mangi in studio with me, and Mark knows it all, too.
Hi, Tracy.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Check it. I got a thermometer over there.
The sun is shining. This is wonderful. And I didn't have to hear the happy song today. It's good. It's a good morning.
Oh, but it's not over.
It's not over.
You
know, you've got me in the room with all this, you know, power today. Jeez, oh man.
Wow. Oh, boy.
I know. And actually, I have to congratulate you, applaud you, because I think I said this yesterday when they came to interview me about the oil and gas and mm-hmm. the and community rights bill. I think you do things based upon what you believe is right.
I do.
And I have to applaud you for being mayor and for being crazy enough, because you didn't have to do it. And I know that. John McNally did not have to run for mayor nor want to become mayor. You could have stayed in private industry and done a whole lot better. Probably kept some more hair.
Well, the hair's been going for a while, so not much I can do about that.
And I want to thank you for stepping up to the plate in a city that needs to have people move back in, take some ownership, and people that get involved. And so I want to thank you for doing that, because we're there because we love it here.
Yep.
We're not here because we have to.
Yep.
And
no,
I want to
I'm,
say that.
You know, my wife and I long time ago, I think, made a commitment to stay in the city, and you know, my family's from here originally, and I'm the only one of three or four kids that are still in town. And,
see what I mean?
And my wife is the youngest of six, and they're all still here, and her mother is still here, and all of them, with the exception of one of them, live in the city of Youngstown's boundaries. One of her brothers escaped to Canfield. But
can we get him back?
We're trying to, but
because I've been out recruiting. I think
have you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I recruit all over the country.
But it's a great town to be mayor of, and as Mark said, it's a beautiful city when the sun's out there shining. I think we can all realize, you know. I not to get off the path, but I drove down to Pittsburgh for an event that the president and vice president spoke at yesterday.
I saw that on the
news.
It
was just
wow.
A beautiful day to take a drive, turn off the radio, and have a peace and quiet for an hour or so. But, the sunshine makes life a whole lot better sometimes, especially in the Easter season.
So, John, how's the president?
Well, you know what? I didn't get much FaceTime. I got a nice picture with him and the vice president, quick handshake and a hello. Did catch up with couple folks that
you know, a Republican,
the
right?
I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm in the territory that I'm in today. But I did catch up with Greg Schultz, who was very instrumental in the president's campaign in Ohio when he was reelected and when he first ran, and he's actually the sort of a special advisor to the vice president now. So I caught up with him yesterday and caught up with the mayor of Pittsburgh, Bill Peduto, who I've gotten to meet a couple times, and a couple other folks who were familiar with the Youngstown area and had been here. So it was nice to talk to some new faces.
Okay.
I think I was the only one who wasn't really from the Pittsburgh area that was there. And, you know, got to hear the president speak, and then they took off, and I got back to Youngstown myself.
Well, let me ask you this. The vision. What is your vision for the city now? I mean, you jumped in, you've been involved all through the process.
Right.
So it's not like you walked into the administration and it was your first time in City Hall. And you restructured some things, and a lot of things you left in place based upon their performance.
And some of the things, yeah, we've left some folks in place. We've made some changes where I thought, you know, for me, changes were necessary.
I love the police chief.
Robin Lees is doing a great job. And actually, I think the entire...
Don't tell him that, though.
Don't tell him?
No.
Well, I don't want...
Don't tell him I said it, though.
All right, I will.
Okay.
He, I think they're doing a great job, the entire police department. We've got a lot of younger patrolmen out on the street who are busy making stops. And, you know, it's amazing. I get the hot sheet every day and a report of why people got picked up, and this is something where I think we're all familiar with. You know, the number of arrests or pickups that start with somebody being pulled over for driving under suspended license or a failure to appear in court, you know, that leads to a search of a vehicle. And, you know, last night the vice squad executed 3 or 4 search warrants that picked up a pretty sizable amount of drugs and a couple guns. The vice squad's taken over probably almost 90 weapons off the street in the first 3 months.
Wow.
First 3.5 months. They've been active. The patrol division's been active. Our detective division, you know, unfortunately with the two murders that we've had in the city so far this year, worked quickly to apprehend people or identify people who are involved in both of those. So I'm very happy so far with how everything's going in the city. I think our street department and our water department did a great job with the difficult weather conditions to start off the year. You know, our main goal was, as always, to keep the main roads as clean as we can get them, and then we get to the secondary.
That's
roads.
Why I have an SUV.
Yes. Yes. You know, our water department...
They worked this winter.
They worked this winter. I mean, I think in the first 3 months of the year, they had about almost 300 water main breaks, yeah, compared to about 100 a year ago in the same time period and about 60 2 years ago. So they put in a lot of time, and obviously they made some overtime on it, but you had a lot of guys... in the water department who are really working hard and were exhausted and need the nice weather to take a little bit of a break from the overtime.
So where are we going from here? What I mean, you know, when campaigns no longer really have platforms,
right.
You know, you go out to the forums and you hear people and it becomes something that I think, to me, this is my personal opinion, this just doesn't have a whole lot of meat. And so you really don't get to take a shape of what the person's vision is for what they want to see in the next 4 to 8 years,
right,
of their administration. So you walk in 2014, and, you know, we are still a shrinking city. We've got a lot of great things going on here. We've still got, you know, you've got Warlork. You've got them expanding. You've got other companies coming in. You've got some partnering with Chamber and trying to bring in some more businesses. Where do you see the city now? What are we going to do?
Well, I think... The main goal of the city in a lot of our departments is what I tell people every day is what are we doing to make our city safer every day, and what are we doing every day to make our neighborhoods a better place to live. So whether that's police and fire and the work that they do, whether it's, you know, like I said, the guys in the street and the water department and the sewer department, how are they working to make neighborhoods better places to live? And that, you know, that encompasses a whole lot of different things. I mean, for... you know, I know there's one particular neighborhood I think about at times on the west side of Youngstown that continually has sewer problems. We're going to be working on some solutions to that particular neighborhood. Overall in the city, you know, we're continuing to fight this problem with the need for demolition and removal of blight. And, you know, we're trying to wrap up a 60-day review of our code enforcement and our demolition programs to make sure that we're doing things as efficiently as possible. And, you know, overall in those particular programs, I don't think we're doing things as efficiently as possible, so we're going to, you know, make some procedural changes and may make some staff changes in the near future as there as well. Working with Economic Development and Sharon Woodbury to come up with some ways that we can help business owners in the main arteries of our city find out more what the city can offer them, offer training on business development. We're going to be rolling out a program, Get Your Business Online, in a partnership with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and Google to provide free education to business owners of any size company in the city of Youngstown of how they can get their business online. And we think that's important to bring people into the 21st century and make sure that they're getting their name out. So we're trying to do some things like that that I think haven't been done at times. We're strengthening up our partnership, or, well, we were attempting to strengthen our partnership with YSU before President Dunn left. And so that's putting some of our plans with YSU behind a little bit. So I'm interested to see and hope. I'm going to put out a quick plug to my friends at Mill Creek Park who just walked by with, after they were on
K105. Yeah.
They're doing a great job, and actually had a chance to meet with Dennis Miller, the executive director from the park, and Samantha the other day, and you know, talking about the possible relocation of the library on Mahoning Avenue to from Mahoning Avenue to the warming house up at Wick Recreation Area near the old ice skating rink. And that's something the library board is proposing, and the 4th and 5th Ward councilmen, and we'll be appointing some people to work with the library board on that proposed relocation and try to fix some things up in the Mill Creek Park area for us. So I tell you, it's very busy, and I think a mayor is a jack of all trades but a master of none, because you're dealing with a whole bunch of different issues every single day. And so I try to learn as much as I can each day about different things and how the city operates. And I think one of the most important things about my vision, I think, is making sure that the mayor is out in the community, if not on a daily basis, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And that includes the weekends as well. I mean, last weekend I was able to hit 2 or 3 events on Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. Went down to Arlington Heights Recreation Center with Judge Delek to congratulate some of the winners of our JJC's at a youth basketball tournament there. Was out at Mill Creek Park with the library reading to youngsters in the morning at the Davis Center. Those are fun events, and I think people want to see a mayor that's out in the community, and I think that's an important role for the mayor.
John, this area got some bad publicity over the last 10 days or so relating to population lost, and it just isn't the city. It was the SMSA in general. And I get angry when I see those kinds of stories because I live here and I know what's going on. And, you're the largest city in Mahoning County, the largest political entity in Mahoning County. And so, you know, you're the face of Mahoning County. Mm-hmm. Tell the folks on the radio what's going on here economically. Because if you would have told me what's going on, we would be where we're at today 10 years ago, I would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
I think it's been something to see.
Well, I think if you go, obviously Tracy was talking about Vallarec and some of the positive developments from related to the oil and gas developments in northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. I think those are fantastic.
Tell the listeners what Vallarec is.
Well, Vallarec is a pipe threading facility. It's Vallarec Star. They've been in the Youngstown area for 15 or 20 years, the old North Star Steel. And last year they completed operations or completed construction of a $600 million or $700 million expansion.
I think it was the largest private construction entity in the country.
In the country and definitely in the state last year. And they're just booming, and they just a subsidiary of theirs, VAM LLC, is currently constructing an $81 million facility. There will be another 81 jobs for the city of Youngstown and for the region. And then I think you go out into the suburbs, and, you know, as mayor, I want to pay attention to the suburbs because there are partners as well, and I need those folks to support us. And I think, you know, Boardman Township continues to do well.
The city has a pretty
Austin
interesting.
Town's doing well.
Doesn't the city have some industrial parks that are really?
Yeah, we've got I think four industrial parks that generally are filled 100%.
Wow.
And
there's a lot of little niches about the city. Uh-huh. This is the problem that I find with Youngstown City, and so I appreciate Mayor McNally. I appreciate him actually saying that he's out in the streets, and he's out and seeing the people. Letting them see him, and actually doing a good, hearing from the people, mm-hmm. and then allowing them to hear from him. But I will say we have a lot of great things that are here, little niches in the city, that the people in the city don't even know about.
Yeah.
They don't know. You go look for a job, but you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
So there are things that are going on in Youngstown City, over in the industrial parks, and I mean. I think I found out that somebody was here, and I said, huh? They said, oh, yeah, they're over there on Andrews Avenue. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's
the
number
the
one
Andrews
here.
The Avenue corridor, Performance Place down on Poland Avenue,
yeah.
Our Salt Springs Industrial Park, which is,
this
you know, you got there's two or three, four different roads back in there, and you really don't know who's back in there until you go back there, the industrial park off of Crescent Street, Brylex Industries.
Yes.
You know, Brylex is down there. They're another company they owns across over in the Salt Springs Industrial Park. Exol down at Performance Place.
Yeah.
You know, Toys R Us, their expansion, their facility. Brentwood Originals, Salt Springs and Meridian.
I was looking for a computer case, and so I went online and I was Googling a computer case to try to find it.
Uh-huh.
And one came up and said it was right here in Youngstown, Ohio. And
yes.
I said, huh?
Yeah.
And they do custom cases.
Custom cases.
For electronics and for musicians across the world.
And they actually do, and they're located in the Salt Springs Industrial Park, and they're going to be mad at me because I can't remember their name 100%. But they also make the cases that you'll see pro football and college teams carry their equipment around on the sidelines, and
yeah.
They make them for the Browns. I think they make them for Ohio State, and they make them for a lot of those schools. And it's a great little company located
right
down
in Youngstown,
yep,
in the city. And I'm like, this is good, but people don't know. And I see things, and people say things about the city of Youngstown that are not true.
Yeah, I'm always, you know, I get upset. We've gotten a number of accolades over the last two or three years, which I've been glad
to see. The best place to start a business.
But you look at the stuff that's here. It's kind of mind blowing. And when you read stuff from people, you know, obviously they haven't read a research report that was written, you know, any newer than 5 years ago, because it's been explosive. And
part of that, and Mark and I have worked on it in the past, is, you know, the presence of the arts in the city of Youngstown and in the Mahoning Valley. And, you know, downtown is, to me, the hub of that system,
That's true.
It's Powers, whether it's the Ford Recital Hall, whether it's the new Mahoning Valley Historical Society Tyler History Center, of course, the Oakland and Ballet Western Reserve.
You've got
and,
Oh Wow down there.
Oh Wow.
Oh, oh, wow.
Butler,
right.
McDonough Museum.
Don't forget. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, well, yeah, see, that's the problem. You know, you learn, you start mentioning people if you don't mention everybody. But the Covelli Center.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things, and the power of the arts is something that keeps our downtown very active and vital.
Well, listen, I got to take a break, but as long as you hear the vision of the old GE building is going down.
Yes.
I see a hotel going up. My name is you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Barbara Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown's new mayor, John McNally, says he will keep the city prosecutor and a couple of assistant prosecutors, but he still needs to find replacements for the deputy director of public works and the finance director. Mayor McNally won the general election to serve as mayor of Youngstown on November 5th, 2013. Easter egg hunts, not enough for a church in Warren. At midnight on Easter Sunday, St. Demetrios Greek Orthodox Church will be setting off fireworks to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The community is invited to attend the midnight service, and the fireworks display will last about 10 minutes afterwards. And starting next Wednesday, crews will begin the demolition of the former Crest Building. The property located on West Federal Street in Youngstown will be sold to the city for $500,000. Some parking areas along West Federal and the general area will be closed to drivers. For WSON News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just $149.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices BESSRP at participating dealers.
Visit Hilltop Lawn and Garden, 3 miles west of Columbiana on State Route 14. 330-427-1220. Online at hilltoplawnandgarden.net.
This is Becky Wall from Daring Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Daring Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Accessible, affordable. Those are the two most popular reasons our students choose Eastern Gateway Community College. Eastern Gateway is one of the fastest growing colleges in Ohio because students recognize this is a great place to get their career prepared or to get transfer bound. We have programs that are in demand in the health, public services, engineering, IT, business, and social services. You can apply at Eastern Gateway Community College by calling 1-800-68-COLLEGE, extension 212, or go on our website, egcc.edu. Steering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. For those of you who are out of town that are listening to us and are sitting in the queue, if you push the one button, you can talk to us. Those of you who are calling in on 347-945-5229, we are talking to the city, to the mayor of the city of Youngstown, Ohio, and it's a pleasure to have him on. I haven't had him on during the campaign. I didn't have him on prior to that. I think John and I have been friends and colleagues for quite some time now, and I appreciate all that he's done, and I don't say that lightly. He has, you know, I know his dad, know some of his family members, met his wife. He's a little weird. Don't tell him I said it, because he really likes what he does.
Who, my dad or me?
No, you.
Oh, okay. Right, just checking.
And, you. And, you know, he set a goal, and he has achieved the goal, and now he's walking in the goal that he achieved. And he's really trying to do the right thing by it.
He was county commissioner before he was mayor.
Yeah, but see, he's smiling now.
we won't go there. We won't go to the county. But
you know, I will
okay.
tell you, you know, when after I got elected, I went to a conference that I got invited to for 25 new mayors from across the country, and we heard from veteran mayors of the larger cities and some of the smaller cities. And the one thing that they all said, and sort of to govern the way you approach a job, is everybody either in your city, and I say everybody, maybe not every person, but everybody know in your city and their surrounding areas knows who the mayor of the city is. And that's the one thing I've really noticed. As a county commissioner, you know,
nobody cares.
Nobody really cares. Nobody really knows what you are, what you do. But as the mayor, and Mark, you pointed out that you're the mayor is the face not only of the city, but at times the whole area, and people do pay attention to what's going on with the mayor and what he or she at some point is doing on a daily basis.
John, you've been paying attention for a long time. When I met you, you were law director.
Yeah, but I think the community pays much more attention.
They pay attention to who you are.
Yeah, and I really, you know, hey, mayor, how you doing? You walk down the street, you hear that all the time, and you know, you go out.
Well, you put your face on every billboard in the city when you were running.
No,
what do you want?
No, I was only six. And that was just for the primary. Which, I don't like seeing my head that big. It's big enough to begin with. And it's bald. It's just about bald enough, too. So, again, I'm having a great time.
Mayor, what are these fracking dudes doing?
Yeah, talk about that for a minute.
Well, those individuals who are pushing the Community Bill of Rights issue, I think have in their mind very legitimate concerns about the oil and gas industry, and especially hydraulic fracturing, the fracking process. But their Bill of Rights goes much farther than just outlawing hydraulic fracturing in the city of Youngstown. I really think it curtails a lot of business that exists in the city, and it curtails the potential of business development in the city of Youngstown over the next 20, 30, 50 years. And that's what I'm concerned about the most, and that's why I spoke out against it, and that's why I've done a radio commercial asking people to vote no. I've already voted no.
I voted no.
So I'm asking city residents to vote against the Community Bill of Rights. I certainly don't shortchange their concerns.
It's important.
I was criticized during a campaign at one point because I'm one. If you give me a petition to sign something, to place it on the ballot, to give people an opportunity to vote on something, I'll sign it. And I'll be honest, I've signed this petition 3 times. I don't really want to sign it anymore, but I also don't want it to pass. And I don't know if it's not successful, and I don't think it will be.
They only changed one word. And I mean, when it didn't fail the last time, they didn't even revise it. They revised a word and put it back on the ballot. And I think that there's so much in it that most people do not understand.
Yeah.
Aerosol, hairspray, deodorant is important. I don't know if it's important to you guys, but we're in a small box.
It's important to me.
Deodorant is important. We need that.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand the detail that they went into.
People just hear fracking. And that's sort of the first paragraph of things that would be not permitted. But then there's, 7 or 8 paragraphs of issues after the fact and get lost. It's a long amendment, and I don't think it's necessary, and I hope that, again, I just hope the voters vote no.
The political name of the thing is
Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights. Oh, yeah, I'm for rights, but geez, oh man, you look at that thing.
We do have a pretty good coalition of folks who are in opposition to it. Democrats, Republicans.
We all get along right now.
The chamber.
We all have this love fest right now.
Oh, we have a kumbaya moment.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
And there are obviously some issues that are above, that I think are above the party process. And ensuring that the city of Youngstown has the right to develop business relationships in the oil and gas industry and help continue to fill up business parks and, hopefully further expansion of Valorex Star over time. And, so I'm voting no. I voted no, and I hope others do as well.
Well, let me ask this. How is the oil and gas industry going to impact the city of Youngstown?
Well, over time, the oil and gas industry has been present in the city of Youngstown for a while. You'll go through the city of Youngstown and you'll see the what we call the Clinton gas wells that are located in different areas in the city, which is, they do some gas drilling at a much lower elevation than they do with the Marcellus Shale and the Utica Shale. So that's already been present here in the city of Youngstown. I really think the oil and gas industry and its potential here in the city of Youngstown is job creation along the lines of the efforts of somebody like Valorex Star. I don't look for a lot of fracking inside the city borders. I just don't think it's going to occur. Obviously, the injection wells that did exist over in the 4th Ward from D&L, those obviously are not permitted anymore. And the Ohio Department of Natural Resources recently did its job in the Poland locations with the injection wells that were located out there. The city of Youngstown cannot be an enforcement arm against the oil and gas industry. Unless somebody is going to provide the city of Youngstown a whole lot more money to become a police arm, and that's what the Ohio, to me, That's what the Ohio Department of Natural Resources exists for.
And they're doing their job very well right now.
Well, I think they did their job on the Poland issues. It took some time for them to do their job on the DNL issues. I believe that folks would like to see ODNR be more transparent about some of these issues. But again, I think it's really a state issue. I think the Ohio Supreme Court has heard arguments in a case over in Monroe Falls about local versus state control, and so that decision will be coming out sometime this year, I would imagine. And I think that will really start to provide some guidance to cities and to the state on how we deal with some of these issues or how the state deals with the issues. I don't think just, passing, some 3-4 page amendment to our city charter is the answer. But we'll see. People can go vote now. Board of Elections open. And people can vote on election day, so we'll see here in a few weeks what happens.
I got a question that's coming in through the phone calls. The number is 330-781-9600 if you want to call locally. If you want to call in on the internet line, you can call in at 330. No, locally is 330-781-9600 if you want to call in on the internet and stay on the line, you can. That number is 347-945-5229. I have John McNally, who is the mayor of the city of Youngstown, here in studio with me. Also, I have Mark Manji. And go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, my friend. And I would like to thank you for when you were running, giving support to one of the unknown facts in Youngstown and unknown events, except to about 700-800 people, Jazz in the Park. I really appreciated that you supported it and you spoke well of us, and we appreciate that of you.
Well, that's a Jazz in the Park is a fantastic way to spend a Sunday afternoon down near the B&O station, listening to some great music, and for me, meeting a whole bunch of people that I didn't really know. But, we stopped there when we were campaigning a couple times, and it was good to get to know you guys. And, again, it's, getting down there near the river and relaxing.
Oh, yeah.
And the people who, come down, they cook out and they enjoy themselves and all that fun without any one issue at all, just people trying to enjoy a nice Sunday afternoon.
That's really pretty down there, too.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's
beautiful down there.
So, people, and you guys do that, that's where, right near the boat launch there, I think, or I don't know, the little stage.
Absolutely.
B&O down there, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you for being the grown-up in the room when it came to the fracking thing, because I think that, the people don't really realize what the spinoff of this mill can be, and when they finish the second part of it as well, and the other development tools that will be at your command pretty soon. We'll say within 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
it's going to take that, but you'll have it. Going forward is something. Everything will the people of the city be included in decisions that have to do with development more publicly? Because I don't think that people really know when to go to a meeting and when not to, and when they're going to make big changes to a neighborhood, like they're going to wipe out so many houses, or do this, that, and other. How do you really develop that type of information to get out to the people?
Well, I think, the city a couple years ago or last year had contracted with YNDC to, start to begin a little bit of a planning process, renew that process. And they just, conducted a series of meetings, which I was very impressed with the level of participation from the public. I think there was 11 or 12, maybe 13 meetings across the city of Youngstown. I think I got to half of those, and had staff at all of them. But the level of participation I was fairly happy with. You know, Jeff, as well as everybody in this room does right now, that, you know, getting people to participate, to go to meetings, to want to be involved is very difficult anymore just because, you know, everybody is swamped with activities, whether it's family or whether it's church or whether it's business. People don't have time to be everywhere all the time. But I think what we want to do is, you know, try to get people involved, but the only way I think you really get them involved is you got to take the meetings out into to the neighborhoods, into the communities. You know, folks are not going to come downtown for City Hall meetings, I don't think. And there's nothing that's going to excite them about a City Hall meeting on a Wednesday night. I do my 5 minutes. I do my 5 minutes with the mayor once a month, and we've been lucky. You know, we get 25 or 30 people that will come down for that. And that's a commitment to come down for basically 5 minutes at a time. So I think we're going to continue the process of taking meetings out into the neighborhood. If there's going to be major changes in a neighborhood, we're going to come out to that neighborhood and tell them what we're proposing or what we'd like to do. I do think, and I talked about it during the campaign, that we need to focus a lot more resources on protecting not only those neighborhoods that are at what I call it a tipping point, that they could go,
right,
you know, sort of either way. I mean, once you have one or two homes on a street that are going downhill, everything can go pretty quickly. And so you got to stifle those problems, whether it's through code enforcement or whether it's through demolition. And then you've got, you know, hello.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Whether you've got, I don't know if that was
me.
It's a clear day. Okay. You know, there's other streets and other neighborhoods in the city where you've got, you know, five or six houses that need to come down. And we're going to be looking at some different ways to deal with that. We're going to be applying for a grant from the Department of Defense that would bring in basically folks from the Department of Defense to help with demolition in our city in a much larger scale that we can do right now. That's a longer term process, though. So we're going to be trying to do some different things, and we're going to see how it goes.
Sticks, your mic's on.
Yes, Mayor. Hello.
Hello.
I'm from south down here in Columbiana County, and you mentioned that the wells that are already in Youngstown.
Uh-huh.
Were you aware, and I want the public to be aware, that those wells were all hydraulically fractured already?
If that's what you're telling me, then I'll go with it.
Yeah.
You know,
talk,
those Clinton wells.
Talk to some oil and gas people, because
sure,
all of those wells, every well drilled in the Mahoning Valley in the last 50 years has been hydraulically fractured.
Okay. Well, there you have it from somebody who knows better than I.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at you.
Don't look at me.
Yes,
Jeff, did you have another question?
So what's your position on the community bill of rights, Jeff? What's your position on our community bill of rights up here in Youngstown?
I believe it's folly. I believe it's total folly for all of us. I think that the impact of that could reach clear down into, you know, into Columbiana County and over into Stark County and up into Portage and Trumbull County,
And I think
Go ahead.
I was going to say that's a good point, because I do think that some of the folks that are behind that Community Bill of Rights are going to use this. Their concern is not, say, the city of Youngstown proper. It's the entire eastern Ohio, western Pennsylvania area. And if they can, you know, keep pushing this here at a local level on us, I think they're going to try to use that as evidence of issues, you know, across eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. That's a good point.
I agree. And I there's rumors that they want to put it on the countywide ballot.
I think the Ohio Supreme Court, whenever they rule on a couple cases for them, are going to, you know, really start to answer the ability of local governments to stay, you know, control or have nothing to do with the control of some of these issues. And again, I think it's more properly before the Ohio Department of Natural Resources than a city.
Before I do that, I got to go and ask you about the redistricting in Youngstown City. It has been, I don't, when's the last time it was done? Let me ask you that. Do you know that number? I know it hasn't been since I've been a resident of the city.
That we redistricted?
Yes.
It's been a long time. I'm going to say, because I think my cousin Jerome was a city councilman then, I'm going to say early 70s?
I would say. And during that time, from the early 70s, mid-70s to now, there has been a huge population change. And there are pockets of the city that are not represented like they should be, and there are pockets of the city that are underrepresented. I know there's been some conversation, and as sitting as a board of elections person, we are doing our best to realign our precincts for fair elections. And we've tried to get with the city to get them to move on the realignment. Mm-hmm. What is going on down there in your neck of the woods?
Well, it has been quiet since we had a little, it came up in, I think, February and March. And my position is that we need to redistrict. I don't have a preference on the number of wards we have, whether it's 5 or 7. I'll leave that to city council.
I don't either.
We have Center for Urban Studies is under, YSU is under contract to help with those redistricting services, and they provided some maps that council as a whole is not in agreement with, but individual members might be on how we redistrict. Council asked the mayor to proposals from other agencies, other groups to help with the redistricting of the city. We receive those, and those costs are anywhere from a minimum of $10,000 to probably, I think, $35,000. But to me, it's really not an issue about how much it would cost to have somebody else come in and help with the redistricting. I think the Center for Urban Studies is more than competent to do it. The Board of Elections, through your director, has offered their free assistance.
Yes, we have.
And so I think between the Board of Elections and the Center for Urban Studies and council, we could come up with maps that hopefully everybody on council agrees with, but if not, a majority agrees with. And I think we need to redistrict, by pretty much December 1st of this year, so because we're going to have primaries next the spring of 2015.
I hate to say this, but we have to do it earlier.
Well, and you're the Board of Elections.
We got our timeline is a little bit earlier. We need to have it done earlier so that we can actually get them drawn, get them out, because we have notices that have to go out to the people because they need to know where they are, where they're going, and what precinct they're going to be in.
Yeah.
And next year is going to be a big year.
Yeah, next year is going to be a big year, but I do think that we need to redistrict. You've got wards that are at 7,000, 7,500, and then you've got wards at 12,000 or 13,000.
Right.
And I think the good number that I've seen is somewhere about 9,500 per ward. And, again, I don't have a preference how it gets done.
I just think it needs to be
done. It needs to be
done.
It needs to be presented to council. And I've told the folks at YSU at the Center for Urban Studies, I don't care which council person calls you and what map they want to see. You give them the map and get it to everybody on city council, and hopefully council can then use those maps to come up with something that everybody can agree on, and if not everybody, then the majority, so that the redistricting can take place.
In the next...
I got to go because I'm going to run out of area in a minute. I just wanted to ask, the Governor Kasich was here a few months ago and offered that he would sit down with anybody in the area to get the schools in Youngstown working. And have you thought of that or considered that when he made the offer? As I know some people just play politics with it, but he did a good job in Cleveland. And maybe something could happen here to move that along a little quicker.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the governor's offer was, you present us with a plan and we'll help you implement it. And I've had a couple brief discussions with the state superintendent over the past few months. I've had many discussions with Connie Hathorn. I've had some discussions with city, with school board members. I'm going to be visiting each of the schools in the district over the next month Their staff is working on getting a schedule for me to do that. I've talked with many people about what everybody's individual concerns about the school district is. I expect to try to come up with some ideas on my own to help the school district. I'll be honest, you know, in my first year, I certainly, you know, people said, hey, do you quote unquote want to take over the school district? I've got plenty of things on my plate. I certainly, though, want to help the school district. And, I, you know, Jeff, that's a work in progress. You know, Joe Schiavone, our state senator, he's been on the phone with me. He wants to be involved. I think he appreciates the need as well. So that's all I can say is everything is a work in progress on that.
Jeff?
I think we lost him.
I think we lost him. I think he fell off the grid.
I am, and I appreciate you. I know that you have an affinity for education. I know that you know that it's important. And I believe that when we finally figure out where we're going, I'm quite sure you'll stand behind it because you always have.
Yeah. You know, I had the opportunity last week to go to McGuffey Elementary on Shenley to read to some second graders in Mrs. Russo's class. And they were a fantastic group of kids. They paid attention. We were engaged. We were talking about college and talking about careers and what they wanted to do when they grew up. And I think some of the kids, their mind changed every 5 minutes, but that's good because they're thinking about different things that they wanted to do. And I had a blast, and that was really when I made my decision that I needed to get out to each of the schools to see how each of the schools operate, to hear from the teachers and from the staffs and from the students, good things and bad things. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, a couple of the schools I've already, you know, heard from some teachers, and some of them were teachers of mine when I was growing up. And so it's rekindling some relationships out there as well. But I do think, you know, that's going to be that's a big task for everybody. And it's not something just the mayor can handle. It's not something just the school board can handle. Look, the state has had commissions in the school district for at least the past 5 years, if not longer. You had a financial oversight commission that was here for a while. Now you have the academic distress commission that's here. Look, the state has been here.
It's been back and forth for quite some time.
Back and forth. And a lot of the decisions that people make have to be reviewed and, you know, double-checked by everybody. It's not an easy environment for anybody to exist in, whether you're staff, student, or administrator. So there are obviously plenty of challenges ahead there.
So any closing comments, anything that you want to get out off your chest before?
Oh, no. You know, I'm not a guy who rants and raves about things occasionally. You know, once
you've got to come on the show more, John.
Well, I enjoy doing this. I think this is part of the outreach that a mayor has to deal with. And
well, you know that you're always welcome.
Yeah. No, but I think as we get into the heavy part of Easter week, I hope that everybody has a great Easter. And for those folks who are on vacation, I hope they enjoy their vacation time. And most importantly, I hope we all get to enjoy about, you know, at least 7 to 10 days of sunshine.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I think that would improve everybody's mood about everything a lot.
Certainly will.
I know this is a busy time for a lot of people. I'm a parent, and so I've got kids who are involved in softball and soccer. We're starting to crank that up. So I've got a city council meeting tonight, and then I got a 6:30 softball scrimmage with 14 6-to-9-year-old girls. So that should be.
Are you still coaching?
Yes, still coaching.
The mayor is still coaching. Listen, I'm out of here. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. When we come back, we'll have Secretary of State John Houston.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hello? Hello?
Blames Russia for manufacturing protests.
It is clear that these actions were not a set of spontaneous events or homegrown, but
Hello?
Rather a well-orchestrated professional campaign of incitement, separatism, and sabotage of the Ukrainian state.
Three pro-Russian militants were killed overnight during a raid by Ukrainian troops to retake a National Guard base. Coast Guard officials in South Korea saying 179 people survived yesterday's ferry disaster, but nearly 300 are still missing. ABC's Joo-hee Cho says some are angry about actions by the crew.
Coast Guard officials saying the captain was one of the first to escape, getting into a lifeboat just about half hour after reporting the incident. Hiding his face in his hoodie, he offered an apology. ABC News has learned that just one of 46 lifeboats were ever deployed.
Most of the missing are high school students. Product liability. Liking a product on Facebook or downloading a coupon could limit your legal rights if something goes wrong. ABC's Scott Goldberg.
There may be a lot to like about Cheerios.
Cheerios is good for your heart. Is that true?
But liking them in the internet sense could cost you.
Gracie.
Without the fanfare of a Super Bowl ad, General Mills, the maker of Cheerios and many other brands, updated the legal language on its website, quietly letting you know if you download coupons or join online communities, you give up your right to sue. Phone and cable companies have similar practices, but the New York Times reports this could be the first major food company settling disputes in what's called forced arbitration. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
The stock market so far down slightly today. This is ABC News.
Have you ever wondered why prudent investors have gold in their portfolio? It's for protection. With all the economic uncertainty, gold is a perfect asset to help build your wealth. Gold is also a great inflation hedge. If you think money that's been printed over the past several years will lead to inflation, then gold helps you prepare. Blanchard & Company is the premier authority in precious metals and rare coins investing. With an unmatched depth of experience, Blanchard helps you achieve sustained financial success. Blanchard takes great pride in earning a reputation for integrity. And with Blanchard, you'll have a dedicated and experienced advisor who will be an advocate for your best interest. To that end, Blanchard's commitment to you includes a 100% buyback guarantee to purchase your investment back at any time. Call 888-360-GOLD or go to BlanchardGold.com for your free precious metals report. That's 888-360-GOLD.
A breakthrough in the Detroit bankruptcy case, the city has the support now of pension funds and a retirees group to reduce payouts to thousands of former Detroit employees. However, the reductions are smaller than previously expected. A judge is holding a hearing about this. The biggest cost of owning a car? Depreciation. As soon as you drive a new car home from the dealer, it's lost quite a bit of value. Consider a vehicle that sells for $30,000.
On average, you lose almost $5,000 literally driving it off the dealer lot.
That's Larry Dominick, president of the auto valuing firm ALG.
Typically, after 3 years, the vehicle's worth about half of what it was when you first purchased the car.
Most motorists pay attention to gas and insurance costs, but
the number one thing we see with cars over time is the depreciation. You know, whether you own that car 3 years, 4 years, 7 years.
A nearly new car loses value at a much faster rate than an older used car. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Take the EcoBoost Challenge at your local Ford dealer today. The 2014 Focus offers great gas mileage and nearly parks itself with available Active Park Assist. Visit drive1ohio.com.
The most important car in the world is yours. That relationship isn't important because you love gas stations, oil changes, and car payments. Nope, you love all the other things your car drives you to. You call it life. Safe Auto gets it. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO, 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, welcome back to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is 5 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I have Secretary of State John Huston on the phone with me. Good morning, Secretary of State. How are you?
Good morning, Tracy.
How are
you
today?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's, you know, it's not snowing today, so it's spring.
Everyone's smiling today because it's warmer today.
That's right.
You're down in Columbus, and you've got less snow there than we get here, so we're really happy.
Hey,
right,
I spent part of my week in Ashtabula County, so I was there.
Wow.
I was there. I was in it. I was in it.
So what is new at the Secretary of State's office? You're doing some great things down there. I think I saw what you're streamlining something when it comes to
business online.
We're
doing everything to try to make the place run better. But, you know, right now we're basically on the election side, our goal is to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. And that's what we strive to do. And we're in, many people may not know this, but we're in day 17 of the primary election, because the voting goes on in the state of Ohio for 35 days for all voters and 45 days for military and overseas voters. So we're in the midst of running an election right now, and, you know, a lot of folks may not know that they can go out there and vote right now, so we're trying to inform them of all those things. You can request an absentee ballot. You don't even need to leave home to vote in Ohio. It's very easy, and we're trying to get things going here for Election Day. We've already had 32,000 absentee ballots cast in this election. 110,000 ballots have been requested, and there are 614 issues across the state that are on the ballot, with all the local issues, everything from school levies and the like. There's also a statewide issue, State Issue 1, which is a capital improvements bond issue that will fix things like roads and sewer systems and things like that. So there are a lot of things that are out there. Mahoning County voters will have 25 local issues, 6 school issues on the ballot. So there's a lot of democracy going on out there, Tracy.
I voted already.
Well, good for
you.
I'm with you.
I voted already. I got it done. I voted at the counter, early voting. My mom voted voter by mail, and we mailed it off, and things are working smoothly here. And I just think that we are making it easier if you choose to take an effort to say, I want to vote early.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do. One out of every three voters in the last presidential election cast a ballot before Election Day. And that's the thing about Ohio is you have a variety of ways to cast a ballot. There is early from your home, early in person, 13 hours on Election Day that you can cast a ballot at your local polling station. And the vast majority of voters still do it the old-fashioned way. They go on Election Day and they go down to the polling location, they cast a ballot, and the vast majority of people like to do it that way, particularly if it's people just get a good sense of, you know, hey, I'm participating in democracy. It's kind of a special day. You get a special feeling when you go in there and you vote on Election Day. It makes you feel proud to be an American, proud that you're doing your role as a citizen to participate in the world's greatest democracy.
Tell me if, you know, your website, because if I want to request an absentee ballot request, I can go on your website and print one down.
Yeah, you can go. The best place to get all the information that you need for the upcoming election or anything is at myohiovote.com, and that connects to our website, or you can go right to the Secretary of State website and find information that way. But we try to guide voters to myohiovote.com. And you can find everything you need. You can print off that absentee ballot request from there. One of the things we're trying to get the legislature to do, though, is to give us the authority to allow voters to register online, register to vote online, and that would be an upgrade that we hope to get for that. But right now it's pretty. It's the website at myohiovote.com is the best place to get a one-stop. Look at all the information we have to offer.
There's been some controversy, and I've got to bring it up. in reference to you suggesting and the legislature actually confirming, you know, standard hours for voting.
Mm-hmm.
And having
well, actually, the legislature hasn't confirmed that, and that's kind of the problem in that. I'm going to have to take a step back in history. Before the last presidential election, because early voting, we've only had early voting in Ohio in major elections since 2006, so this is a relatively new thing, early voting is. Before that, for 200 years, you voted on Tuesdays. And some people, you know, tug on my ear every once in a while or my shirt sleeve and say, we should just go back to voting on Tuesdays. But I remind them that, well, this helps us reduce lines to have early voting because you have a number of people that vote early, and then we can reduce lines at the polling locations across the state. So early voting has been a good experience for the most part. And I remind them that, but if you look back in this history, it used to be that every local board of election would set their own hours of operation and even their own days of operation in that early voting window. And what happened is that some counties were staying open days that other counties weren't. Some counties were sending out absentee ballot requests to their voters while other counties didn't. Some counties were having extended hours into the evenings where other counties weren't. And there started to be a rumbling of a suggestion of political bias, that it was favoring one party over the other for having these disparate sets of rules for voting. And so what I did is I set a standard, uniform standard, for days and hours of voting, so that no matter whether you're Tracy Winbush in Mahoning County or Tracy Trumbull County, you're all going to vote by the same set of rules. You're not going to have a different set of rules to cast your ballots. And that, I think, is an important thing. If you believe in equality, then we need to have a uniform set of rules across the state. So I set a uniform set of days and hours. Then I asked the legislature to put this into the law so that we do it on a bipartisan basis, so we don't have to constantly argue about what the days and hours should be. And we couldn't get the legislature to do that. But we got the next best thing is that the State Association of Elections Officials, which is made up of Democrats and Republicans who run elections at the local level, they came together and set a bipartisan compromise on days and hours for voting, and that's the policy that I've implemented, because we need to have a good set of uniform standards statewide, so that all voters are casting ballots by the same set of rules, and we need to do it on a bipartisan basis, and that's what we've done. And I know that there's always, anytime you make a decision, there's always going to be somebody out there that doesn't like it, but at least we know in this case that it's not partisan, it was a bipartisan recommendation, and there's plenty of time to cast a ballot. You don't even need to leave home to do it.
I agree. I sit on that board as a trustee, and you know, we come from all 88 counties, and we fight it out amongst ourselves. But when you really look at the job that goes into making sure that you have an effective and efficient count on election night, there's a lot of work that goes into it, and I think these guys really do a good job across the state, and we need to make sure that it's not politicized by persons who need to make a statement.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
No, go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
No, it's the goal with all of these things is, there are any number. There are 100 different schedules that would work. To me, whether you vote for one day or 35 days or something in between, the rules just need to be the same for everybody. Everybody understands, you know, fairness. We understand fairness from the time we're on the playground in grade school. What applies to me applies to you, and as long as we're making a judgment equally, then that's what fairness is, and that's what we have in our system in Ohio now.
Here's one of the problems that I have with the way the voting system is set up right now that bothers me. So we can vote for how many days here in Ohio? in advance of the in advance of election day?
You can in the primary it's 35 days, and then for the general election it will be for 29 days.
You know, so you're going through a campaign and something happens before the election day.
Mm-hmm.
And how can this be a snapshot of the consensus of a nation if different people are making their votes under different information that they have received? So if, for example, up here in Mahoning County, you know, we've had a judge resign, and yet, you know, we've had to go under, you know, kind of difficult circumstances to the name's still on the ballot, and we have to post up now, you know.
You get a little piece of paper that says, if you vote for this person, it will not count.
So if you have a president that's running and it turns out 3 weeks before the election there's a major scandal that nobody knew about, and the votes that are cast, it's a fait accompli, and you don't really have a true snapshot.
That it's a valid point, but that's why, just because you allow somebody to vote early doesn't mean that they're required to vote early. No voter has to cast a ballot before election day. That's a choice that every individual has, and we hope they will exercise that choice wisely, meaning that they have their ballot, but they may not. They can get their ballot 35 days before the election, and then they can take a look at it. They can take time to see what's on the ballot. They can review it. If they know how they feel about certain things, they can go ahead and mark their ballot. But if they're not sure how they feel about things, then they can wait until they get all the information. There was a case in a major city in Ohio where a city council member, it was discovered late in the elections process that they had used their position to avoid paying traffic violations. And when that news broke days before the election, it affected the vote on election day. And it was interesting to watch because this person had won by such a large margin in the early vote and then lost on election day in terms of the number of ballots in their favor. But because they had gained such a large lead in the early voting process, the votes cast after that couldn't counteract that, and that person won, even though people didn't have all of the information when many of them cast their ballots. So that's a perfect example of what your point is, and that's why we need to exercise caution in making sure that we have all the information we need before we cast a ballot. But that's what choice is. We have to exercise our choice wisely.
Well, you know, what it does is it negates the votes of some of the people. I mean, my personal opinion is that, you know, 5 days before election is sufficient time to get your vote cast. But that's just me. You know, I know, you know, you're a political figure, Mr. Secretary, and those of us that are involved in politics to a degree. You know, one of the unintended consequences of this approach to election is it's actually escalated the cost of elections.
And
I don't know if that's a good thing. That's almost a bad thing.
But I don't think people realize that it costs a lot. It costs a lot of money to run an election. But elections aren't free.
Well, and you also have to consider the fact that in Ohio. We have voting or counting of ballots that goes on 300 of 365 days a year. Okay, and let me explain this. There are four election periods in Ohio: the February special election, the May primary election, the August special election, and the November general election. And if you count the fact that military voters receive their ballots 45 days before the election.
Don't miss the 20.
Okay, and then you have a situation where we count the ballots and then count provisional ballots and then go back and do recounts and certification of those, which happen up to 30 days after the election. Every election is a 75-day process, and you have four of them a year. And so this is, you know, there are debates about whether or not we need to have the February and the August special elections. That could reduce – the cost of what we do in terms of running elections, and you also have to recognize that those are also very low turnout elections. So in most cases, 50% of the voters aren't even actually casting a ballot. The majority of folks are not even casting a ballot in many of those elections. So these are questions that are being pondered right now in the legislature about whether those elections should even be eliminated.
Wow.
I don't think the general public really realizes that.
I don't think that will go. I mean, I could understand school systems and that, but I suspect use those.
School systems, townships. Special elections. They run.
Yeah, I think that's what.
Yeah.
That's right. Those are the people that you could look. You can make good arguments for and against it. You can make an argument against the special elections because you say, look, it's such a low voter turnout. There's costs associated with it. We should have those decisions made in the May primary and in the general election when more people are casting ballots. But you can also say, if my son or daughter is going to be a senior in high school and we failed a levy in May and we want a second shot at it in August so that we can find out whether they're going to even have sports their senior year, they're going to have academic programs that we want their senior year, and the voters may not have known that, well, you might want your second chance in August to try to get that done. So these are the questions those are both the pros and cons of those issues.
Yeah, I have never heard the election process described as you just described it over here, and I've been involved with this sort of thing in a long, long time. That's really interesting to have it spelled out like that. How many days are actually involved in a year?
Quite a few.
And I can think of some people here in town I'd like to get that information to if they haven't figured it out themselves, which I highly doubt because that would require some thought, and they don't think too often. I'm being good. But this is what I say, and this is what I tell.
People have no idea what goes on into running an election, and the process that we have here in Ohio is one of the best, I believe, if not the best in the country.
Yeah,
it is very, very well balanced.
We continue to improve in our national rankings and where Ohio rates, and in one recent study. We got higher marks. We've improved 13 places from the 2008 election, the 2012 election, and we can improve more if I could just persuade our friends in the legislature to give us a few more of the tools that we need to improve elections, like online voter registration, not online voting, but online voter registration, which would really save time, money, and improve the integrity of that process. And this is one more thing that we can do to make it better. Yep.
I want to ask you, I was listening to you, I want to say, a couple months ago, and you were talking about how, I think it was at one of the Board of Elections conferences, and you were talking about how we have decreased in duplicate votes. Duplicate
registrations, yeah. We have eliminated 282,000 deceased voters from the rolls, trying to clean up our voter rolls, and 340,000 duplicates from the rolls, and both of those we continue to try to make our system of elections more secure by making sure that only people who are legally eligible to be on the rolls are on the rolls, because it does a couple things. First of all, it makes it more costly to manage. It's more confusing to the local poll workers if they have to go through a bunch of names that are on the list that shouldn't be on the list, and it also helps avoid the potential of someone casting a ballot in the name of a person who is either deceased or shouldn't be on the rolls. And so all of these upgrades that we're doing to modernize the system, one of the things we also did is that we now, when I got to office, I'd get questions, how many non-citizens are on the voter rolls? Well, how could I tell? The database that kept our voter information and the database that kept the citizenship information couldn't communicate with one another. We fixed that. We found 291 non-citizens on the voter rolls. 17 of them cast a ballot in the 2012 presidential election. And we've been able to remedy that situation and hold people accountable who who did it the wrong way. So that's why the technology upgrades that allow us to do these things are really important, so that we can improve the integrity of the system of elections. And I'm going to give you a stat that will probably stun both of you if you haven't heard it before. In the 2013 general election, there were 43 races in Ohio that were either tied or decided by one vote. 43
wow.
races tied or decided by one vote. So if one more person came to the polls, they could have changed the outcome in 43 different situations. Those are school levies, mayoral races, city council races, things like that. So there is no margin for error, and we have to get it right.
And we work very hard at it.
Yeah.
We work very hard at it. And our staffs work very, very hard at it. And I will say this to anyone. We should not politicize what we do in the democracy of our voting process here in Ohio, because we have a very, very good system. And I appreciate what you do down there, Secretary of State. And your staff is absolutely magnificent.
Well, I have a great team. And anybody who's ever been successful knows it's never one person. It's a great team effort. And the team I have, they make me look good.
And because of the position on the Board of Elections, we work very, very closely with the Secretary of State's office. And your team is magnificent and knowledgeable, and they're fair and they're open. And I've gone through several. And it's really, really wonderful. I want to take my hat off to you for having good people around you to make this process so simple at the local level.
Well, thank you very much.
Any closing comments?
Well, I guess I can tell you one thing on the business side, too.
Okay.
One of the things that we do also is...
I got an email.
What's that?
I got an email about the business side. I knew I saw something.
Here's the thing. If you want to start a business in Ohio, you have to start it by going through the Secretary of State's office. And we've tried to make it more business-friendly there. When I took office, the average wait time to start a business to process the paperwork was 4 days. We've now got that down to a day and a half. And if you want to do it online, which you couldn't do before, which you can do now, we just created this online system last year, and it's going gangbusters. And so in 2012, we set a record for the number of new businesses that were started in Ohio. In 2013, we broke that record, and we just announced this week that we're ahead of pace in 2014 to break the record again. And we've made it easier to create a business in Ohio. And, gee, what's happening? More businesses are being created in Ohio. That's great news. And when you have more businesses being created in Ohio, what's that mean? Well, it means more jobs in Ohio. And a job is two things. Yes, it's the thing that puts a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on the table. But for many people who have been struggling, it's also an opportunity to have a sense of accomplishment and a sense of dignity that comes with an opportunity to work, and we're restoring some of that pride and some of that hope, and I'm glad to play a small role in it.
Hey, Secretary Houston, rumor has it you're going to be here on the 29th of May in the Mahoning Valley.
Is that right?
That's what I heard.
If it's probably true. I try to get there as often as I can. I was just in, as I mentioned, I was in Ashtabula County the other day, and I don't know what my schedule is, but if you tell me I'm going to be there on the 29th, I probably am.
You're going to be the Lincoln Day speaker.
Oh, is that right? Well,
yeah, we do our Lincoln Day in May, and we're going to have to get, this is a nice guy. We're going to have to get some good food for him up here when he's coming up.
No problem.
You know what? I just saw that it's on my schedule. I popped it open, so I guess I'll be there on May 29th.
See, I got a little birdie sitting over your shoulder.
You know more about where I'm going to be than I do.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we look forward to having you here. You're going to be here on the 29th. You can give the 330-629-7006 a phone call if you'd like to come and see Secretary Houston speak to a group of us about what he does, where he's going, and what he's doing. But I want to applaud him for the job that he's doing, and I thank him. You know, the doors are always open for you to come and hang out with us.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
All right. Bye now.
You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Challenges in their lives.
Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown's new mayor, John McNally, says he will keep the city prosecutor and a couple of assistant prosecutors, but he still needs to find replacements for the deputy director of public works and the finance director. Mayor McNally won the general election to serve as mayor of Youngstown on November 5, 2013. Easter egg hunts, not enough for a church in Warren. At midnight on Easter Sunday, St. Demetrios Greek Orthodox Church will be setting off fireworks to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The community is invited to attend the midnight service, and the fireworks display will last about 10 minutes afterwards. And starting next Wednesday, crews will begin the demolition of the former Crest building. The property located on West Federal Street in Youngstown will be sold to the city for $500,000. Some parking areas along West Federal and the general area will be closed to drivers. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Is your home turning into a money pit? Then learn from the experts on how to turn your home into a place you truly enjoy. Listen to The Money Pit Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 here on News Talk 600. You'll get the expert advice you need on how to tackle any home improvement adventure. The Money Pit is brought to you by Salem Structures on State Route 45, featuring the highest quality Amish-built outdoor structures for any need. Visit their website for a full list of their products at salemstructures.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
When you choose a Kubota BX Series tractor from Unkifers, you'll have the strength and versatility of a compact utility tractor with the agile handling of four-wheel drive and the feel of a garden tractor. Need something bigger? The new Kubota M Series will convince you that what you thought was impossible in a midsize tractor is now possible. Visit Unkifer Equipment in Minerva, serving you for over 45 years. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to noon, and click on UnkiferEQ.com.
For more than 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle. And we stand out from the competition. At InfoCision, we value your hard work and reward you for it. Earn competitive wages, weekly pay and bonus, excellent benefits, and an opportunity for advancement. All with an impressive fitness center and doctor's office on site. InfoCision is now hiring call center professionals at all three locations in the area. A local company committed to keeping jobs in America. Learn more about the openings for full and part-time call center positions.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, anti-free market, and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
No, when I was,
they are, they're healthy.
When I was growing up, they said eggs were not healthy.
They said butter wasn't healthy.
That's
and
right.
And they told you to suck down the margarine.
That's right.
Shows you now it'll kill you.
Yeah, so I'm getting chemicals. I'm eating chemicals, you know, to clog up my...
And you should smoke. Because it's cool.
Yeah. Whatever they tell you to do, do the opposite. That's pretty much about right.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Now, Mark.
Clap along if you feel.
The sun is shining.
I know, and I'm grooving.
And you said you didn't get to hear Happy, so I had to bring it back.
And it makes me groove. I'm cursing while I'm grooving, but I'm grooving.
To bring me down. It made Pharrell cry.
Yeah. I saw that on television.
Awesome.
That's awesome. You know that.
You want to have that kind of emotion when you do something like yes. This is good. Hey, welcome back to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is an honor and pleasure to have you with us. It is 40 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I have another guest. Can you believe this has been a whole day of me and Mark sitting here? And,
I'll tell you what, Tracy, I have been such impressed with the brains and political power that we've been in this on this morning. Wow.
We've been doing pretty good.
And I was unprepared when I came in. I was there. Holy smokes. I mean, the Secretary of State and the mayor, and now we have this gentleman coming on who kind of knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Looking at the articles that he's written, doing some research on him, we have a gentleman by the name of Raymond Keating, and he is an economist for small business. And today we're just going to have a conversation. How are you, Mr. Keating?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Is it warm in your neck of the woods because the sun is shining here, and I think we're just goofy because it's just got sun and there's no snow?
The sun is shining, but it's not warm yet, so I'm a little annoyed.
Well, where are you?
I'm actually in New York today on Long Island, so
it is sunny, but
it is chilly.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for two things. One, that you're in New York, and then secondly, it's not warm yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the New York thing as well. I mean, we just put out a new report, our Small Business Tax Index, and New York ranked a dismal 45th, so I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing.
Oh, wait, I thought they were running that ad on Nationwide about what a wonderful place it is
they
to
are.
Go do business in New York as a taxes.
No.
Yeah, I just wrote a column, actually, on those commercials, and they failed to mention that you can only set up shop in certain buildings on certain lands within state university or city university campuses. So that's the real story on that.
Let me ask you a question. What's going on in New York City with this goofy mayor they got going right now?
Well, I think you summarized it with the word goofy. How did they elect this guy?
Easy. People don't pay attention to what's going on.
Well, that's unfortunate. He was elected by huge margins, and then all of a sudden he came in and started doing what he promised he would do, and people are like, whoa, hold on a second, what's going on here?
Well, you have to realize, when people vote, they vote this way. But I didn't think he was really going to do it.
Do you know how many times I've heard people say that? And you're absolutely right.
Is he really going to get rid of those the horse-drawn carriages?
No.
You know, I haven't been on top of that lately, but that's been his push. Yep, he's been trying to get rid of that. He's been trying to get rid of charter schools, and he's been trying to raise taxes. So that's his essentially.
That's
his
a
agenda.
Scary dude.
No. He's for the people. What are you talking about, Mark?
I'm for the people.
He's for the people.
Your buddy wants to build condominiums where the stable is, where the horses are kept.
Mark, he's for the people.
He's for the buddies who wants to build condominiums where the horses are kept.
He's for the people.
Those people.
He's for somebody's people.
ain't our kind
of
people.
I'm not quite sure what people he's for. Just make sure you keep him there.
We don't want him here. We've got a great mayor. He was on this morning.
That's right. So if you keep him there, you'll be fine, and we'll come by and wave.
Actually, the rest of the nation will be fine, right? That's exactly right.
So keep him there. As a matter of fact, I can send you a couple other people too to join him. And
they can have a big party.
Right, we've got goofy people here. We'd love to send to you.
Well, the rest of the country is a little too smart to take a mayor of New York City and make him anything more than that. Quite frankly,
no. Keep him there. Just, you know, because sometimes people have the power of persuasion. Tell us a little bit about you and how you became this economist for small business and what you think about oil and gas and why you do what you do, and because you have a passion for this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a passion for economics, oddly, right? People scratch their heads at that one. But, I'm chief economist with the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. We have about 100,000 members across the country, and we work on every public policy almost imaginable that impacts small businesses, entrepreneurs, and the economy. And one of those issues, obviously, has been energy. Energy has been what I call my fun issue over the last few years. The economy, as you well know, has been so bad for so long that when I go and talk or, you know, make a speech on the economy, I'm the Debbie Downer. But when you look at energy and what's happened over the last few years, it's really been it's really been a revolution. I mean, we assumed that we'd be importing energy forever, and now we have this vast expansion in natural gas and oil production because of innovations, technological advancement in the private sector, where we can now get at oil and gas reserves that we were unable to in the past, and this has been a growth area. And when you look at the numbers, we did a report last year, while the rest of the economy is down in terms of jobs over the last several years, the energy sector's up. When the rest of the economy is down in terms of the number of businesses, unfortunately, the energy sector's up, and it's been a great story. And it's not just, you know, you always hear when it comes to energy, big oil or big energy. When you look at these sectors, they're actually overwhelmingly populated by small firms. You know, when you look at the oil and gas extraction sector, it's more than 90% of those firms have less than 20 employees. So it's been a small business story as well. So it's good news, and we're just trying to let people know what's going on, the small business role, and then also we don't want, you know, elected officials in Washington and their appointees to mess things up.
Did you send them a memo?
I've been sending them memos for many, many years. Some of them read them, and some of them apparently don't.
Do you want us to put, like, get them a book called Hooked on Phonics?
That's right. Well, it's, you know, there are some folks, obviously, right now in the, when you look at this issue, and one of the things that we can suddenly do in this country is export. We can actually start very soon exporting and taking advantage of that in terms of natural gas and oil, quite frankly. But we have obstacles in Washington. For example, since the early 70s, we've been unable to export crude oil, except for a few exceptions like Canada. And on the natural gas front, we need to get approvals for export facilities, LNG, liquefied natural gas facilities, and those approvals have been very, very slow, a lot of foot dragging in the Energy Department and the Obama Energy Department. So we need to, for people to look at this issue and see that this is a big plus for the economy, jobs, you know, more businesses, and hopefully get the message to Washington that, you know, get out of the way and let this happen.
What do you see? I mean, you've written some articles in the Youngstown Vindicator here.
Yes.
And
right.
You know that we have in the Tri-County area, more so in Columbiana County than in Mahoning and Trumbull County, but you see a lot of Marcellus and Utica Shale conversation, drilling, refineries, and a lot of energy being looked at in this area because of what's here. What are you thinking?
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, who would have thought, again, you know, look at what's going on in Pennsylvania, neighboring Pennsylvania, and who would have thought that would be happening just a few years ago? And there's tremendous opportunity in Ohio as well in terms of, as you said, the Marcellus Shale and the Utica Shale. And it's not just, it's oil and natural gas. And there's also what they call wet gas, which means that there are other things that go along with it, with the natural gas, ethane, for example, that are used in the production of consumer goods and so on. So, again, this is a tremendous opportunity for the energy sector, number one, right? There's opportunities there for investment and jobs and growth. But then when you look at what's happening beyond that, you know, who uses natural gas? Obviously, you know, families, residences, small businesses consume natural gas, so it's a plus there, and the price has come down dramatically over the last several years. But also manufacturers, the chemical industry, they all use this as an input. So there's an opportunity here for this to spread to other areas of the economy. It already has, but you know, we need to, again, make sure that the market is not prohibited or restricted in any way so that we can see some growth in manufacturing and chemicals in an area of the country, for example, in your state, where that's been seen some tough flooding in recent decades.
This morning I was watching the news, and they were having a conversation about the Ukraine and Prime Minister Putin and the President of the United States and oil and gas, and why Europe doesn't want to step up because of their dependence of oil and gas out of Russia. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a huge issue, obviously, in terms of what Russia supplies to Europe, and as you mentioned, natural gas and oil, and you know that transported via across the Ukraine. So there's a whole energy play or energy factor in this in a big way. And again, we have an opportunity here to step up, and if we can clear away and get these permits through in terms of building these natural gas export facilities, it's not going to happen overnight, but you know what? We're talking about the first one LNG facility coming online late next year, and then more would quickly follow. So that's just, you know, around the corner in terms of time. So we have an opportunity here to make a real difference, perhaps not only in Europe but in other areas of the world in terms of the geopolitics and the strategy and where we position ourselves. And there are parts of the Obama administration that seem to understand that to a certain degree, like the State Department. But other parts of the Obama administration, like the Department of Energy and the EPA, as I mentioned, the Department of Energy has been very slow in making these approvals, and the EPA has just been downright hostile to any kind of additional production and use of carbon-based energy, as we well know. So that's a conflicted administration, and that doesn't do us any good at home here or in terms of our reputation around the world.
I don't think they're conflicted at all. I just think they're plain hostile.
Well, I think you're right. In terms of where the president is and certainly where his EPA is, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've heard this phrase, you know, this phrase war on coal. It is a war on coal, you know, in terms of what those regulations are doing on the coal front. They don't like oil. While natural gas is the cleanest burning of the carbon-based energies, they're not too crazy about that because it's carbon-based. So you're absolutely right. The question is, can we, you know, are these changes globally, you know, what Putin is doing, things in the Middle East, those pressures, can they at least perhaps push the Obama administration in a more productive direction? And that's, you know, I try to be an optimist at heart, but I've been around this for a long time. But we have work to do, and that's what we're trying to do in terms of pushing policy in the right direction.
Okay. Is the Keystone Pipeline ever going to get approved?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, again, another issue that should be a no-brainer, right? You know, our good neighbor to the north is producing oil out of the sands, and we have a tremendous opportunity to not only transport Canadian, but also oil being produced in North Dakota, in that area, in terms of the tremendous increase in production there, and get that all the way down to the refineries in the Gulf of Mexico. Should be a no-brainer. The bottom line is it feeds economic growth here, creates jobs. Unions are behind it. That's a big constituency for the president. But again, the other side of it is there's no other way to put it, the very radical green movement. And that's the battle that's been going on within the Obama administration, quite frankly, throughout since day one. This should have been approved a long time ago. So we're going to see over the next few months, some people say in the next few weeks, whether this gets approved or not. I have stopped trying to predict or guess as to how things are going to turn out with this administration, but I hope that, the unions, for example, that constituency of this administration wins out over others.
Where does Ohio's congressional delegation, including Ryan and Johnson and Boehner, stand on import-export oil and gas and making it happen and opening up energy when it comes to it?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to comment specifically without having some of that information on them in front of me, and I don't have that, but let's put it this way. In terms of LNG exports, there have been very few people in Congress. There have been some, but very few, that have been hostile to the idea of expanding exports here. Now, that, again, shouldn't surprise us because, you know, last time I checked my economics textbook, and I'm an economist, exports are good for our economy, and that used to be an issue that both sides of the political aisle understand, you know, more exports. We can debate about the import side of things, but more exports were always viewed as good. There are some people, for a variety of reasons, that are, you know, pushing against those exports, we've already mentioned certainly the environmentalists, but some others as well. But I think for the most part, again, with a few exceptions, Congress kind of gets it on this. So we'll now whether they're willing, whether they're willing to take action, and I think they are in the House, to say, and they've said it before, we need to move these approvals along, and there are bills in the House, for example, that say exactly that, that require the administration to move these licenses along, these permits, this process along. But, you know, whether they can, the rhetoric's always there for some of these folks, whether they carry through on the vote is another question, and that's critical for constituents to be aware of, for small businesses. You know, I always talk about small business owners and how much political power they have, and they kind of, some of them look at me and scratch their heads, and I said, listen, when the average person calls their congressman, their senator, their state lawmakers, you know, that's great, that's good. People should be active and let their voices be heard. But when business owners do, you know, that steps it up a little bit because, wow, you have a business in my district? Do you employ people in my district, in my state? They carry a little bit more clout, I think, and they don't always realize that, but they need to realize it and they need to act accordingly.
Do they? Let me ask you this. When it comes to information of small businesses, because I'm a small business and I know other small business people, and they are so disengaged when it comes to the political infrastructure, do they really know how to represent their industry and or their business in the marketplace?
Well, hopefully, you're right. I mean, most people, why is that? Because they're running their business, right? I mean, you know what it's like to run a business and how that just takes over so much of your life, and maybe you'd like to have, you know, be able to visit with your family for a while and have a little relaxation. But running a business is not a 9-to-5 thing. It's all-consuming. But I think, so that's understandable, but I think they need to realize how, and most of them realize the headaches and the costs that government imposes on them, right? They're the ones that deal with the regulations. They're dealing with taxes. I mean, go down the line, the annoying fees, you know, so on and so on. So they get that, but they need some help. And, you know, groups like ours, the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, that's where we come into play, that we can hopefully provide them information in a convenient way and also give them some help in terms of getting involved in that process and having their voices heard. So, yeah, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, that's why we exist. And, you know, people can go to our website, sbecouncil.org. They can become members, get involved in a whole host of things, and just get the information they need and hopefully in a way that makes it easier for them to get involved.
I have to take a break. Can you hold on for just a second? Because I want you to come back and tell me just a little bit about the council for the small businesses out there that are listening, that they can actually go online and catch you.
Sure, absolutely.
Listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Now, he wasn't a journalist before. He was in the national security business. But he was at the Vladimir Putin press conference today. And he got called on by Vlad, the Impaler. And Snowden got a question in for
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
You. That's what they always promise. Of course, it never, ever works out that way. Hey, how about You Didn't Build That? You Didn't Build That is a good. I don't think anybody's gotten to You Didn't Build That yet. Oh, and we still got a bunch more. This and other stuff.
Hello.
From ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. High winds and rain hampering recovery efforts off the coast of South Korea. Nearly 300 people are still missing in a ferry disaster. The large ship flipped on its side and sank. 10 people have been confirmed dead, but it's believed many high school students went down with that ship. ABC's Gloria Riviera is on Jindo Island, South Korea.
Officials pumped oxygen into the ship to give possible survivors a lifeline. Then the search and rescue effort suddenly postponed due to weather. Another devastating development for families.
Some survivors say they never heard an evacuation order from the crew. Attorney General Eric Holder today to attend a service for the three people killed at Jewish community sites in suburban Kansas City. Fraser Cross has been charged with first-degree murder in Sunday's shootings. Talks today on the crisis in Ukraine. U.S., European, Ukrainian, and Russian officials are all meeting in Switzerland. The aim is to reduce tensions. Overnight, one pro-Russian militant was killed, 13 injured in eastern Ukraine. In Russia today, President Putin spent several hours doing a TV call-in show. ABC's Kirit Radia in Moscow says Edward Snowden asked a question via video.
Snowden asked Putin if Russia has a mass surveillance program like the United States does. Putin, a former KGB agent, told Snowden he would speak from one spy to another. He denied such a catch-all program exists in Russia, saying that law enforcement only uses the capability to target criminals.
Experts say that the Russian surveillance program is more widely used and with less outside supervision than Putin suggested. Twin boys who were born conjoined have been released from a Dallas hospital. It's been their home since birth. Owen and Emmett Easel were joined at the abdomen, shared a liver and intestine. They were separated last August. A doctor says their condition is fragile. This is ABC News.
Have you ever wondered why prudent investors have gold in their portfolio? It's for protection. With all the economic uncertainty, gold is a perfect asset to help build your wealth. Gold is also a great inflation hedge. If you think money that's been printed over the past several years will lead to inflation, then gold helps you prepare. Blanchard & Company is the premier authority in precious metals and rare coins investing. With an unmatched depth of experience, Blanchard helps you achieve sustained financial success. Blanchard takes great pride in earning a reputation for integrity. And with Blanchard, you'll have a dedicated and experienced advisor who will be an advocate for your best interest. To that end, Blanchard's commitment to you includes a 100% buyback guarantee to purchase your investment back at any time. Call 888-360-GOLD or go to BlanchardGold.com for your free precious metals report. That's 888-360-GOLD.
One year ago today, a devastating explosion and fire in a Texas town. ABC's Jim Ryan went back to West.
On April 17, 2013, volunteer firefighters were sent to West Fertilizer Company on the report that a small fire inside the plant was starting to grow. And then an earth-shaking explosion sent a mushroom cloud into the sky and leveled homes, schools, and businesses on the north side of town. The physical cleanup is still going on. Work pauses briefly as the community comes together to mark 1 year since the disaster that took 15 lives and permanently altered the face of this town. Jim Ryan, ABC News, West Texas.
The fired chief operating officer of Yahoo, Enrique De Castro, got a huge severance package. According to company documents, he earned $58 million after just 15 months on the job. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Their name is Safe Auto for a reason. Safe because it's smart to have car insurance, and auto because that's all we do. The right car insurance for the right price right now. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Spring is here, and so are great deals at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer. With 0% APR financing for 60 months on a wide selection of fuel-efficient 2014 models. Come in for a test drive or visit driveoneohio.com.
Have you ever wondered why prudent investors have gold in their portfolio? It's for protection. With all the economic uncertainty, gold is a perfect asset to help build your wealth. Gold is also a great inflation hedge. If you think money that's been printed over the past several years will lead to inflation, then gold helps you prepare. Blanchard & Company is the premier authority in precious metals and rare coins investing. With an unmatched depth of experience, Blanchard helps you achieve sustained financial success. Blanchard takes great pride in earning a reputation for integrity. And with Blanchard, you'll have a dedicated and experienced advisor who will be an advocate for your best interest. To that end, Blanchard's commitment to you includes a 100% buyback guarantee to purchase your investment back at any time. Call 888-360-GOLD or go to BlanchardGold.com for your free precious metals report. That's 888-360-GOLD.
Don't miss the 2014 Women's Rally in the Valley, April 26th at Victory Christian Center in Coitsville. Find out more about this life-changing event. Visit womenofhisvision.com. Entrance bands are just $15 in advance and $20 at the door. Get yours at Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout in Youngstown, Specialty Fab in North Lima, Trolio Screen Printing in Boardman, Ryan's Chair Hair Care and Treatment in Youngstown, Victory Christian Center in Coitsville, and Victory Christian Center in Youngstown.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
You may hate my song, but my song makes my song makes everyone just. There's something about this.
It gets my toes a tapping.
I'm telling you.
But we need to have a contest, Tracy. I think we ought to. You ought to run a contest.
Okay.
For a song that you could interchange with the happy song that's just as happy and see, you know.
I got one.
We can buy them a small coffee at McDonald's or something like that.
I can do better than that. Maybe we'll do like, you know, we'll just give them a cash card.
There we go.
From Panera Bread.
There we go. That sounds like a fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yes, but there's, I mean.
And then, we could pick three finalists from, and then the listeners can vote.
Yes. See, I found a song to replace it, but it's just not the same. I mean, it works. See, listen.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and
it's dark in my heart, and it feels
like
a cold
night. It's a good tune,
but it's not happy. Blue sky.
You can play the theme song from the Partridge Family. By definition, that's happy.
That's happy. That is happy. I have with me Mr. Raymond Keating, and he is a chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. And I asked him to hold over for a few minutes and tell me who is the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council? Who are they? What do they do? How do I join? Where do I find them? And why would it be a good thing for me to align myself with them as a small business?
We are, as I said before, we have about 100,000 members across the nations, small businesses, mid-sized business owners, even big businesses from all kinds of industries. And so we're not an association that represents one certain group. So we've got, you know, tech, we've got home-based business, consultants, energy firms, manufacturers, you name it, we have it. And people, businesses join us because we're a voice for small business in Washington, D.C. and in the states on a whole host of policy issues. So taxes, regulations, government spending. We get in, you know, monetary policy and how that affects business decisions. So all the way across the board. And our website is sbecouncil.org. People can go there, get all the information that we produce. We, you know, we have something new on the website almost every day. We have studies. You can see, for example, where your state ranks on the tax burden for entrepreneurship and small business, and pass that on, for better or for worse, to your elected officials in the state and let them know how you feel about it. So we provide a wealth of information that people that own businesses, operate businesses, can use. And we also have other non-policy things that we do, you know, how to help you better run your business, where can you access capital to expand your firm. So we've got a lot of things going on in our group, and people can join on the website as well.
It tells, I'm reading something here, and it says Ohio. We're ranked number 9. And it says Ohio's policy competitiveness has greatly benefited several consecutive administrations. This
wow,
is good.
That's good.
This is good. Thank you very much.
Okay. You know what? It's funny. When we do the Small Business Tax Index, and we have a larger one, the Small Business Survival Index, it's the numbers. You know, we have 21 different tax measures that we put in there. Our Small Business Survival Index is even bigger than that. I think we're up to 47 or 48 indicators. But the funny thing is, sometimes we get lobbied by people in government in various states, and you know, they want to improve their ranking. But I tell them, listen, it's just the numbers. It's straightforward stuff. It's all about what policy decisions that elected officials make in the states, and that determines where the state ranks in terms of its competitiveness.
So you're saying just the facts, ma'am?
What's that? I'm sorry.
It's just the facts.
It's just the facts. That's exactly it. And, you know, Ohio actually has made some great strides forward in recent years in terms of improving the tax climate, for example, getting rid of, for example, your corporate income and capital gains taxes. That was a big plus. Now, there have been some reductions on the personal income side of things as well. So those are positive steps.
We also eliminated the estate tax,
yes,
which is...
Yep, that's a biggie. That is included in our measures, and that's a big plus as well, absolutely.
And I actually said, I think I was talking to my tax guy on Sunday, and I told him that when I see the governor again, I'm going to run up to him and give him a big hug, because that which I've owed in the past to the state and that which I owe today is a great difference. And I just love it.
And do we know your tax guy?
Yeah.
I think so. Okay.
Yeah, we know my tax guy. And it was just because of some of the tax measures that had been taking place in the state of Ohio that I no longer was liable for some things because they cut some taxes for small businesses. And it will go to the bottom line of trying to grow. Not necessarily go into my pocket, but to actually grow. Because when you don't pay out, that means you can invest. And I don't think people really understand that, those of us that are not in business, that's what happens.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's what business owners do. They put the money back in and try to grow it, and the result of that, all sorts of wonderful things that we want to see happen in our economy in terms of economic growth and job creation.
Well, Mr. Keating, I thank you for your time. You're always welcome to come back and hang out with us. If there's ever anything that's on your mind that you want to get out, just give me a call or send me an email. We'll make it happen, and we really, really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it. Now you've challenged me. I have to think of a song that would make me happier than happy songs, so I'll think about that.
See there? It does have an effect on people now, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It raises my makes me happy. That's the bottom line. So there you go.
See there? They get on me because I've been playing it every day since I found it. But what it does is everything in life right now is so overwhelming. Those of us who are in business, going to work, we got family, got family life, things are just happening in life, and you need something that's going to lift your spirit and cause you just to smile and say, you know what, it's not that serious.
Yep, I listen to it, and my son comes in the office, and he goes, are you listening to this song again? I said, yes, I'm listening to it, and then he gets happy, so there you go.
See there? You guys, let's everybody say happy. Thank you very much. Mr. Keating, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful Resurrection weekend.
Thank you. Happy Easter to all of you as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I'm going to take a real quick break. I'll be right back. Again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. For the last 45 minutes of the show, Mark and I are just going to sit here and just goof off. You can call in and goof off with us if you'd like. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
It's all right.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
With your headline news. Youngstown's new mayor, John McNally, says he will keep the city prosecutor and a couple of assistant prosecutors, but he still needs to find replacements for the deputy director of public works and the finance director. Mayor McNally won the general election to serve as mayor of Youngstown on November 5, 2013. Easter egg hunts, not enough for a church in Warren. At midnight on Easter Sunday, St. Demetrios Greek Orthodox Church will be setting off fireworks to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The community is invited to attend the midnight service, and the fireworks display will last about 10 minutes afterwards. And starting next Wednesday, crews will begin the demolition of the former Crest building. The property located on West Federal Street in Youngstown will be sold to the city for $500,000. Some parking areas along West Federal and the general area will be closed to drivers. For WSON News, I'm Harper Keegan.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm here in studio with Mark Mangi. I want to thank Mayor of Youngstown, John McNally, for coming in. I want to thank Secretary of State Houston for coming in and talking with us about the election process. And I want to thank Mr. Keating. He is from the Small Business Council.
That's a heck of a lineup you did today, Tracy. You got kudos and thumbs up on this one. Wow.
Hey, we're going to try to keep it going.
I haven't talked to that many important people in years. And, you know,
you talk to me every week. What are you talking about?
Are you a mayor?
No.
Are you a Secretary of State?
No.
Are you head of Small Business Council?
No.
I rest my case.
No.
That was great. And Mr. Keating was a really great guy. I like talking to him. Good-natured, and, you know, it's tough with the stuff he does to keep that kind of an attitude, because it's got to be frustrating as all get out, you know, when dealing with small businesses, what small businesses have to put up with today. You know, you're a small business person, I'm a small business person, and you know what the fear is, and I'm going to be serious about this. You know, I'm in the apartment rental business, and there comes a point where you can't grow beyond where you are, because the regulations kick in, and they're onerous, and I don't feel like dealing with them. So they cap how far you can go, and that's not a good thing.
Let me say this. We have to learn that if you don't allow business to grow, you don't allow America to succeed. And saying you get too much, when I look at the top 1%, you know, the ones that we don't mention their names and we don't know, they are not so far-fetched, because I would grant to say they do a lot of things for the things that they care about. The problem is their 1% has come from you. When I look at the Waltons, the family is in the 1%. Walmart, Sam's Club, are the Waltons. And if you don't like their practices, then don't go and give them your money. You can't hate them and support them.
And people do that. You know, they've talked about the exporting of jobs. And when I talk with folks about that issue, how, you know, they say it's rotten, or exporting jobs, and they sit there and get kind of in a huff. Well, okay, then are you willing to pay $15 more for that pair of jeans that you're wearing?
Nope.
And there's dead silence. They don't answer. And so don't go buy the American products. It's a little bit more expensive.
A little bit more?
They're out there. You know, you can buy them. But, no, you know, they go at the end of the day. When you're in a consumer kind of a business, you're going to go where the prices are cheapest.
Not only that, you can't. It's some things you can buy American, but we were talking earlier this week, Mark, and you weren't here. You can't buy an American TV.
I don't think you can. No.
You can't afford, if you could, an American TV. Now, some things are assembled here, but they're definitely not made here. But then the American worker, when he goes to work anymore, doesn't have American pride. They are not the workers of yesterday. They're not just happy to go to work and build a widget.
Same could be said for cars. There are some that are assembled here.
They're assembled here.
But the component parts come in offshore.
That's correct.
And the test is the assembly, not where the component parts are made.
Correct. And we don't understand that as Americans. South Carolina, your mic is on, and so is yours, Eric. And that's something that we don't understand. And until we understand how this is working, and if you don't like it, you have to change it. But to change it, you have to change your whole way of life.
Yeah, you know, and the stuff that's made here is not labor intensive. It's
no.
it's machine driven.
We don't work like that anymore.
We don't work like that anymore.
We don't come home musty, smelly, and dirty.
Yeah.
But let me say this, and this is something, and I hope you guys are praying for me, because I am on a crusade, for no better term, to try to get people to buy back into making America work.
One of the things that the mayor didn't talk about this morning, he was in Pittsburgh yesterday.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes, you know, the president does something right. And when he does it, I'm going to say he did something right. That focus yesterday was money going for education to get back into the trades. And I think that is just outstanding. And in this country, on every level, financial level, respect level, self-image level, needs to get the trades back elevated to where they need to be. They have taken this stuff out of the schools. And that's the worst thing they could possibly do. People need to know electrical. They need to know plumbing. They need how to do carpentry. All of these things are trades. And I'll tell you what, I'm a lawyer, and for the most part, my wealthiest clients don't have a college education.
Most of them don't.
They have a work ethic. And I'm always amazed by that. I mean, you get the doctors and not so much the lawyers, because there are so many of us, and those that do have money generally are doing something else, like I do something else. And they use the law as a background, but it's the, you know, my plumber's charging me, you know, $60-$70 an hour right now.
Can I tell you what happened?
What happened?
I was at a business and I had some, you know, some authority over that entity at the time.
Yeah.
And the commode backed up.
Okay.
On an off night.
All right.
So an off night means it's a night where it's after 5 and it's probably the weekend. So I call out a plumber. He charges me $900, and I had no choice but to pay it.
What did he do?
I don't know what he did, but when he left, people could flush. That's all that mattered. I don't know what he did. He didn't put in a new commode. He didn't put in, there was something that was stopping up, that was backed up inside this commode, whatever would have caused it. No one cared because not only did it back up one, because there was two restrooms, not only did it back up the one, it backed up both.
Whoa, okay.
So it's not like we could put, you know, out of order, go use the male, you know, go turn the male commode into a unisex. It was like, we need you to come and fix. And he could have charged me our firstborn, and he could have gotten it. I don't think we understand that. That's what trade does. And when you have a skill, and that person needs your skill, you're not concerned about minimum wage, because no matter what, when you call him out, he can ask for whatever he wants, and you're going to pay it. And then he gave us a discount.
Okay.
And I don't think people realize that. When you have a craft and a skill, and it is necessary and it is needed at the time, you're not looking for minimum wage payments. You're looking for people.
And you want a toilet that flushes.
Absolutely. And you got to understand, a toilet flushing, and it's a public place.
Yeah.
is an important thing.
How long were they out there fixing it?
What, 40 minutes? 40, 50
yeah,
minutes?
See, that's the thing, though. That's how competition works, though. I would have charged you $800.
See, there, Eric, you're wrong. You're wrong. But it worked. And I wasn't mad at him.
Wait, said, he charged you $900. I would have, yeah, he charged you $900. I said, I'd do it for $800. That's competition to me. That's how it should work.
And wait a minute, and I didn't have time for competition because I needed to get it done. So he was, and he knew it. I had people out there looking to go to the bathroom. He didn't care.
We usually get our plumbing issues on Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, we do electric on Thanksgiving. Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing good. It's getting nice out, bright. No snow on the ground. What more can you ask for?
Can't ask for much. Can't ask for much. Private caller, your mic is on. Who are you? How are you going to call in, hit the button, and then not talk? Okay. But so when you talk about the crafts, plumbers and pipe fitters, when you talk about people who do, you know, masonry, when you go to lay down a basement and you need to have masonry, you need it. It's a good job.
My brother-in-law is a tool and die guy. And I'll tell you what, he does very, very well. And
he's not working for minimum wage either.
He's probably the best tool and die guy in Ohio. And does highly specialized dies. They're all computer generated. And he does just a great, great job. And he gets calls from all over the country for his work. And he worked for a company. He made good money, and then they wanted to. The company he worked for, this is a true story, wanted to promote him, and the union wouldn't let him. And so, what the company ended up doing is helping him set up his own business. Then went around the union and contracted the work out. And the company since went out of business because of the union put them out of business.
But, it'll do that.
You know,
but when you talk about crafts and you talk about trades,
yeah,
it is a good job. You know, heavy equipment operator, you just don't get in a backhoe and treat it like a car.
I don't mean to change the subject.
Go ahead and change it.
I'm looking at the temperature for the next 10 days, 61, 63, 69, 69, 67, 72, 72. This is wonderful.
That was a good change.
This is a good change. I don't see any more polar vortexes coming down like the last one that just blew through 2 or 3 days ago.
Well, that's global warming.
Listen, there was a story out on global warming last week that I saw about sunspots. And they basically said that we're going to be going into a 70-year cooling period. We've just come out of a 70-year warming period because, you know, it's sunspots. And what happens to the global warming temperature as the temperature start the global warming people as the temperature start to go down? Because when I was in school, I taught we had the coming ice age. We were also taught we were going to run out of oil in 1995. I'm not making that up. It was in the textbooks. You know.
Mark.
Yes.
Did you guys have books? Did you have books in school?
Yes, we had books in school.
Don't read those anymore.
No. Well, my son brought his textbooks home, and I laughed. I mean, and the math book, they're talking about global warming and the rainforest. And I thought, what's that have to do with 2 plus 2 equals 4? Of course, we had a screwy teacher for Ohio history. She was when she taught, and they don't teach Ohio history in the schools anymore, I don't think.
They don't teach history in the schools anymore,
yeah.
Period.
But she wanted to talk about the solar system, so she ran around the classroom in these orthopedic shoes. She was the short little lady. She had to be 4 or 5, and she referred to herself in the third person all the time. You know, Miss So-and-so wants that, and Miss So-and-so's doing this. And
are all teachers weird?
I've had some good teachers, but this one was just goofy. And she was supposed to teach me science, and instead she taught me Ohio history, and I'm not making that up. And when the principal would walk in the door, she changed topics like on a dime. So it looked like she was teaching what she was supposed to be teaching.
Did you guys have to learn every U.S. capital in the country? Every state capital,
yes.
That is, I mean?
I did. Yes, we did.
I did in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
I want to say in geography, I don't know if we had to learn them. I think we did. We had to learn where every state was. where the state capital and what region it was in, and their time zone.
Yeah, we had to know every state capital to pass that class.
Because you had the Midwest, the Southeast, the East Coast, the West Coast.
We had a tough job. My geography teacher was tough. He was from the South. Ha, my name is Mr. Williamson. I'm going to teach you geography. What? Geography.
We don't even have a mic. Not so blind, Mike. Your mic is on. I don't even think that we even teach geography anymore, do we?
I don't think we do. No, we don't.
No.
I don't remember my son taking geography in school.
Oh.
Which is why people can't find Iraq on a map.
They can't find the United States on the map.
Half the high school kids
could not find the United States on a map.
I just can't believe that we graduate students from public schools in America and they don't know the structure of government.
Hello.
You know what I mean? How does that happen?
They don't know the structure of food. They've taken children. Yeah. They don't know where eggs come from. They don't know where chickens come from. They don't know where pasta comes from. They've done surveys on these kids.
Mike, chicken, yeah. chicken comes from the store.
Exactly.
Didn't you learn that?
That's their answer. Chicken comes from the store.
They don't know the executive branch, the legislative branch, judicial branch. They just have no idea.
So can I ask you a question? If that's the issue, then why is it that we want them to vote? If we don't teach you who you're voting for, why are you so big on getting them to vote?
Because that's the game, to get them to vote, because they're low-information voters, so they believe rhetoric.
If you don't know who you're voting for, I mean, seriously, when you go to a public school, why would you not teach them the form of government in which you're going to vote upon graduation? Explicitly, upon graduation, you fill out a civil service card and a voter registration card as you walk across to get your diploma at 18. Why is it that we have not taught you your form of government that you have to go out and be a civic, responsible, productive adult in?
Well, it doesn't matter. All that to you being taught now is that if you have to use an ID, you're being discriminated against.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I'd just throw that out there. I think that's just a little bit kind of funny how we do that.
It's been taken out of the curriculum. Civics, I don't know anybody teaching civics anymore like we had to learn 50 years ago.
Well, even if you don't learn civics, you got to have government. Government's a requirement in every school across the country. So if you're teaching me government, what are you teaching
me?
It
is.
Yes, American government.
South Carolina just passed a law that any institution in the state, high school or college level or university, whether they're private or not, if they receive any state money at all, has to teach history, U.S. history, the Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence, and for both South Carolina Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. They've instituted that last year, finally. They brought it back into school, or you don't get the money.
But if the teacher doesn't understand it, how can you teach it? And we know there's a lot of teachers that have no idea. Even when they look at it in a book, how can you teach young people to shape their mind to be critical thinkers when it comes to politics?
You can't.
And if they don't understand it, how in the world can you teach it to someone else?
You can't. And that's where the school boards and the people who are in control of that and the unions and stuff have to start making sure that that's part of your educational credential, that you know some of this stuff. They did a survey.
I don't think they want you to know that.
They did a survey a few years back. I have a friend of mine who's on a school board up in Connecticut, which is arguably the wealthiest state per capita in the union. And if you look at the rankings, it is also the most educated, literate state in the union. And they did a survey in an upper middle class town. I won't mention the name of the town. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But this is the town that you work your butt off to go to so your kids could go to a better school system. And they took a survey. Third grade to fifth grade teachers between the ages of 23 and 28, 70% of them did not know who Adolf Hitler was. Now, how can you survive in the world today and not know who and live through any time segment in the last 100 years and not know who Adolf Hitler was?
easily. Hey, hold on. 440, your mic is on. How you doing today?
Pretty good. My granddaughter's in the second grade, and they just recently they had a geography thing. It was an outline of the United States with all the states, but the name of the states were blank, and so was Mexico and Canada. They had to fill that out. They're going to be tested on that.
Uh-huh.
So that's in the second. That's in the second grade.
That's great.
So, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about anywhere else, but it's funny that you brought it up because she just had it, and I was like, so. And we were going over it, and she got some wrong, but she was studying on it, so yeah.
As long as you're studying it, I mean, really, you know, it. You have to bring it to your attention for you to be able to recall it. And I think we need to redefine what we teach our children and how we teach our children so that they will be critical thinkers and really understand what people are teaching them.
That's why. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Tracy.
Brown. Yes.
Yes, Tracy. How you doing? This is Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you
doing? I called in. You guys were talking about. You know, having a trade, first of all, getting a certificate and getting certified in something is key things. You can work for someone else or you can always go into another business of your own.
Right.
And it's really, you know, real quick, and it's a trade. And, you know, like you said, you can, something that may take half an hour, you know, the customer doesn't know how long it really takes, you know, when you have a trade like that. So it definitely is a benefit. But when you talk about education, see, education is real critical because what do our children really do know? I mean, do we teach our children all about history, where the math in ancient times come from, the more sciences and, you know, different Arabics, most of the constellations in the star are Arabic names? Do they teach us that? No. So we still have
bias. But even if you don't teach me that, if you teach me how to read, I can go pick that up. But if you don't teach me the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, no matter what book you sit in front of me, I will never be able to understand it.
But if you talk about history in chronological order, how math and everything progress, why do I have to go outside? Because you're teaching me education, you're teaching me facts, you're teaching me history, so be real about it. So why do I have to get out that side of a public realm? It doesn't make sense. Because that's why we have different, when you have different curriculums and different philosophies, those adults grow up and have conflict. So I think as children, we need as adults, line it out, what is the real education, and give it to them. What is the truth? So, and then, but if we're not, if we have all these different curriculums as adults, we're going to grow up and saying, you know, so,
but it's just the simplicity of it. I mean, seriously, look at the simplicity of this. Mike, I just need to be able to get your kid, get your young person, get your adult. Right now we have adults out here. I was talking to someone yesterday. I got an email, and they are hiring at, I believe, ODOT. And I was talking to a person, and she said her son was getting ready to go out and do a job interview. And I said, you know, what does he want to do? And she said, oh, he needs a job. I said, well, what can he do? Oh, you know, I don't know. She was hemming and hawing, and I was like hemming and hawing with her. And I said, well, you know, she said he really wants to get into the building trades. I said, well, I can probably help him get navigated at least to the plumbers and pipe fitters. I got some friends over there. I said, now he has to have a clean driving record. He's got to have a GED, and he's got to be able to pee clean. She said, I'm just not going to put you out there like that. So you can't get a job as a grown 30-year-old person if you won't put down your recreational drug activities of smoking weed. You know what I mean? Because there's positions out there. When we look at unemployment, when we look at, you know, getting into, they can get in. They got to be able to get the job. They got to be able to do something. You just can't show up high.
Unless you're applying for a job as a salesperson in a shop in Colorado that sells the stuff.
Okay, and from my understanding, they're having problems with that.
people respect salespeople who use the product they're trying to sell you.
and right now we've got a population who we are allowing to, and we get ready to start. We're gonna start legalizing it and passing it out. How can you work high?
You can't. It's a good theory, but the problem is any company takes on somebody knowingly who's high. Wait till you see what happens the minute there's a problem, an accident. There's all kinds of lawsuits flying around. Insurance premiums go up and everything because you were supposed to not do that.
Mike, when you talk about, okay, I understand that they need to learn about Kemet and all them kind of people and what's going on with that, and you know, Egyptian and black history and the Moors and all that. And I can teach you that in my home in study sessions. We got study sessions all over the place here. But if you can't read, then you can't critically think and you can't ask the right questions of me.
Right. I agree with you, Tracy, on that one 100% because Mike wanted them to hear the truth. Well, when you can't read for yourself and you can't reason for yourself, the truth is what somebody told you it was, like this global warming thing that Mark was talking about. Now they've moved the goalpost to the new term, climate change. Well, heck, every 24 hours you have climate change. Just go outside and look.
Especially right here now.
Yeah.
We got major climate change. It went from like 74 degrees down to, what, 32, 18?
Yeah. Well, it went from 74 to 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here in Ohio, they don't declare a state of emergency as far as climate change.
Yeah.
For Stanley, I see that you. How you doing? I'm just saying, I need people to go on it. I'm trying to get my life together this weekend so that I can actually carve out from me working out, going to work, running a business, producing a show, and everything else that I do, to sit down with Lynda.com and learn all of the Adobe Suite, which is going to take me at least a couple hundred hours. Because I need to go back and hone in on my craft for some other things that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... So I've got to take some time out. I've got to work some time out to make it happen. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to succeed at it, but I've got to do it.
But you see, that's where you went wrong. You brought all that on yourself because you tried to get educated. See what happens? This is why maybe these people who aren't all that educated are smarter than us, Tracy, because, see, they don't have all the problems you just listed.
I gotta go find another. And wait a minute, I gotta sleep in between time, and I would like to go and spend some time with some friends of mine, you know, every now and then. But I really, and then I'm trying to do, you know, fundraising, and do some other things with that. I mean, do we not get it? I'm just saying.
You said a lot.
Too much common sense talking here today.
This is not common sense. This is just we are our own enemy, and if we're going to change what we don't like about what we're talking about, it has to begin with us. It's just that simple. I can no longer blame you, Mark, for my problems.
Can I blame you for mine?
No.
Okay.
Oh. You don't have any problems.
I'm looking for somebody to blame.
You don't have any problems, Mark. Mark, you don't have any problems. I thought you knew.
All right. And Mark would be so easy to blame. He worked for Nixon. He's a lawyer and a landlord. I mean, you want to talk about three more despised groups in the United States?
Hey, Stanley, your mic is on.
I got great tenants. I got to tell you, my tenants are good people.
You don't have any problems, Mark. I was going to say something different, but it'll change the subject all of a sudden. But you don't have any problems.
Yeah. When he just paid his tenants a compliment, that was the lawyer speaking. That wasn't the landlord.
No.
Or the Mark, campaign worker.
No, listen to this. Mark has a nerve to have he has tenants, and they even pay their rent.
Yeah,
what kind of problem?
What
kind of problem is that?
But you know, I take good care of my tenants, man. They got a problem. I'm there within 30 minutes. I take care of all of their problems.
Yeah. I'm afraid to find out what all their problems encompasses if he shows up in 30 minutes.
Well, I have one of my tenants couldn't get her garage door up the other morning, and you know she texted me at 6:30 in the morning. She says, "I can't get my garage door up," and I know she had to get to work, and I was deeply concerned. And soon I'm trying to get the company out there to fix the garage doors as fast as I could. And then she tells me, what are you worried about my car? I didn't put my car in the garage last night. So at least that was a good thing.
Listen here. Mark knows that if you can't get to work, you can't pay the rent.
You can't pay the rent.
So he's going to make sure that the garage door goes up, even though their car is not in the garage.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get your car out, you can't go to work.
Your Honor, I couldn't pay the rent. He shouldn't evict me because he didn't let me get out of the garage to go to work. And then he gets slapped with an imprisonment, unlawful imprisonment lawsuit, like that other Ohio guy you had that had the girls in the basement locked in. Mark was afraid of that. It was his lawyer.
No, Castro, we don't do Castro in Youngstown. We don't do that here. Sorry. Hey, listening to Tracy and Friends, it's been a real good day today. I've enjoyed having Mark with me today. I've enjoyed having Mayor McNally in studio with me today. And I've definitely enjoyed having Secretary of State and you. And then I had Mr. Raymond Keating in from the Ohio Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. It's been a good day.
It's been a good day. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been.
Now, Michael, when are we going to see you again?
Huh?
Well, you know, you have a holiday coming up. And
what holiday?
Easter.
We'll be back on Monday.
We'll be back on Monday.
That's right, because we won't be here tomorrow. There'll be a best of tomorrow. I'm sorry about that. That's right. Today's Friday. Because I'm happy. Tomorrow is Good Friday, and we're going to take Good Friday off, and I'm going to focus in. Oh, I love your birds.
You like my birds?
I love your birds.
I'm showing Tracy my birds.
I love your birds. I have a vision for the birds, whether you like it or not. I got a vision for the birds.
I know you got a vision for the birds.
I got a vision for the birds. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. 440, you cannot call in and then hang up the phone. I'm not that good. He calls in and what'd you say, Eric?
I'm all talking to somebody in the background. Sorry about that.
You know what? I have to say this. I have some of the greatest callers and followers in the world. And I don't know what I would do with all of you, whether we agree or disagree, whether we fight or not fight. You guys are absolutely the best. And I look forward to one day being able to have all of us together in one place at one time so we can all meet each other and give each other a hug and take a photo and really hang out. And I hope that you guys will continue to pray with us and pray for us as me and my crazy self, we try to build this show, get this show out so that we can grow. Because I think we have something special here.
I'm still offended.
Why are you offended?
When Diva was here, I had to find out on the radio that Diva was here and I couldn't come meet Diva.
And everybody was here but you.
And everybody was here but me. I'm driving around Liberty Township and I'm listening to... And I couldn't get here fast enough from where I was.
And because I think you texted me and said, but what about me? You're one of us, Mark. But you were that was your day off, and you didn't want to come in and hang out with us. You had real money to go make. You didn't want to play with us with our Monopoly money here. Because, you know, I pay him Monopoly money.
She gave me a raise.
That's right.
Wow.
I gave everybody a raise. That's how we do it.
We get paid in satisfaction.
Absolutely.
Talking to great folks on the radio.
Absolutely.
And interesting people like you had today. Wow.
Well, it was good.
It was a good lineup, Tracy. Kudos to you on that. Was a
thank
great
you.
Show.
And next week we're going to have a little bit of the same. We've got some great people. I've got some great people on schedule to come in and to talk with us about a lot. But I don't want it to become so muddy where we don't get into a fight. But you guys have made it to where I'm so used to fighting that everywhere I go I get into a conflict.
Okay, so here's the question of the day.
Okay.
What are you having for Easter dinner?
My mom said she wants to have lamb. And I said, okay. And I think I'm going to go to the upstairs. And if anybody's looking for anyone to cook their side foods, you can call Joe City over at the upstairs lounge, or upstairs restaurant, that's what it's called now. And they will do all the cookings for you, the side dishes for you, so that you don't have to do the potatoes and the beans and all that kind of stuff. And so that's what we're going to do. Gilman. What about you? Oh, that's you're going out of town.
I'm going down to my sister-in-law in my sister-in-law's house in Mansfield on Sunday, and I think we're going to have a an Easter ham. I love Easter ham.
I love ham. Period. I'm just going to. But have you met Doc Mason and Dr. Danielle and Doris and John Bullock?
Yes.
They're not nice.
They don't like the ham.
They don't like me and ham.
They don't eat ham. Well, I gotta have. My sister. Dr. Mason would be real pleased with my sister and how she eats. I mean, they are strict. But Ginger's bringing the desserts.
Oh yes. Can I come over and taste them? Make sure they taste okay.
Make sure they taste okay.
I don't want you to take anything to Easter dinner that doesn't taste good.
She'll probably bring down some Easter bread. She made Easter bread.
I saw that.
Weekend.
I saw that. Wow.
It was really.
You didn't bring any of that in.
It's frozen.
So what? It can thaw. Hey, 440, your mic is on. I'm fussing at you today. Hi, honey.
Hi. You'll have to forgive me because sometimes I travel around and so miss you. It'll cut out. I'm on the verge of losing you right now. You still there?
You'll never lose me. I'm still here.
Oh.
You called in.
Okay.
You were going to say something probably very, very corny.
No, not very corny. The one thing I can't understand, especially if you can read and you got a computer, I always, 9 times out of 10, if I go in on my computer and go online, I can find anything I want on search on how to do it. And I don't understand why people don't do it. Anything from fixing your car to doggone cooking to God knows what. And I don't understand why people don't.
Let me tell you why. I can tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because you got to want to.
Well, yeah.
See, if you want to do the right thing, you can do the right thing, but you got to want to do it. If you don't want to do it, no matter how bad I want you to do it, it won't get done because I can't want it for you. And that's a hard lesson that I had to learn personally.
I'm cheap.
Me
I'm
too.
I'm a cheap sucker.
Me too. But I have to say this. That commode is something that I did not want to do, nor did anyone there want me to go in there and do it. And it would have been a bad day if I had tried it.
I would put gloves on it and charge you $899.
Listen, all I know is it was
no problem.
I had a room full of people, and I'm quite sure if all the men got together with their thinking caps on and a tablet and Google, they probably could have done it. But we didn't want to wait that long, nor did we want to have the problem if they didn't do it right.
You need a steak.
It was bigger than a steak.
Bigger than a steak?
Because it was commercial.
All right.
So it needed to have a machine that was bigger than a steak to go down. You paid for it.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if you had some roof damage, blocking the...
Don't know. All I know is when he left...
Because if we're backing up other places,
All the commodes in the building.
Yeah.
So, but when he left, it flushed.
Okay.
See, you, listen, as long as it flushed at the end of the day, you really didn't care.
Right.
8212. I got to go. It's 2 minutes till 12, and I'm done until Monday. Guess what? Happy Resurrection Weekend. You guys be blessed.
Happy
Mark,
Easter,
thank
Tracy.
You.
Happy Easter, Tracy.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I love you all. We will see you back here on Monday morning. It'll be open mic. Tomorrow they'll do a best of show. And if you need to find us, you can always catch us at Tracy@TracyandFriends.com. You can always stay in touch. Send me an email. Send me a note. Catch us on Facebook. Facebook is Facebook.com/TracyandFriends. And we're always around. We're here for you. We adore you. We support you. And we truly, truly care. God bless and have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, Mark.
The spring sale is going on now at Harbor Pet Center in Boardman. All bunnies are just $19.99. Also, complete bunny care kits on sale, including cage, litter, food, supplements, alfalfa hay, and a food bowl, starting at $79.99. There's also money-saving offers on puppies, freshwater and saltwater fish, pet food and supplies, and much more. Visit harborpetcenter.com for money-saving coupons. Harbor Pet Center, Market Street in Boardman. We've got the pets.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
I believe in the good.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com.